The following program is intended for mature audiences.
The following program is brought to you with limited commercial interruption.
Today's broadcast is being simulcast in broken English.
Here we go in 3, 2...
Time to wake up!
Hey, what are you doing here? About to go on the air!
Uh-oh.
Get out of bed. Resistance is futile.
Back to reality.
I love that show.
It's very hip to be on the show.
We ain't one at a time in here.
They broadcast me out on the radio. We're mass communicating.
Best show since no other show.
I absolutely love you. You're thoroughly entertaining.
Get ready to taste some sweet ear candy.
Okay, here we go.
It's showtime.
Gentlemen.
This is The Cue.
Let's get down to business.
Can you dig it?
You dig it?
Can you dig it?
Can you dig it?
Yeah, I can dig it, yeah.
Can you dig it?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Cue. Of course, my name is Mark Bland. As always, the best pop culture, current events, with a political twist radio show east and west of the Mississippi River. This is The Cue, and I am joined, as I always am, by producer Bobby.
Gorgeous producer Bobby,
as well as Dan, the Polar Vortex, straight from Botswana, Walsh.
And I'm in Bobby's lap right now.
You are.
Because we are sharing a microphone.
You are sharing a
microphone. I feel so intimate with you, Bobby, and I think our friendship's just gotten this much closer.
You guys are just you're doing it. You're doing things over there.
We're literally closer. I'm thinking about a foot.
Well, welcome to The Cue. I want to take some time today to discuss the validity of people when in a discussion or debate. Evidently, yoga is quite demonic. That's right, Dan.
What?
Yoga is demonic. Are you a big yoga guy yourself?
I've been wanting to get into yoga more and more because my sister swears by it. So, I mean, I demonic? No, not demonic
at all.
You
don't think it's... Well, we're going to talk about that. And Chick-fil-A isn't sorry, but they may have misspoke. We're going to discuss that here.
Again?
No,
no way.
Not again. No, we're just going to go back. We're going to go back to the days of... That's how we'll play this. The days of when all this was originally going down. They've kind of come out and talked about that. But welcome to the QA, ladies and gentlemen. We have an exciting show for you today, as I always say. Let's get right into this bad boy right now. Right off the bat, Bobby.
Let's do it, baby.
All right, here's the situation. A Maine man woke up to find his house surrounded by state troopers after being reported for walking around with a gun earlier that morning. He did have a gun, but it was tattooed on his stomach. Norridgewock resident, that's just a town that you don't want, Norridgewock. Norridgewock resident Michael Smith had come outside that day with his shirt off to yell at a tree removal company to get off of his property. They did, and he went back to sleep. Okay, what?
I was just going to say, with this whole story, it was tattooed on his stomach. The best, he had to have been walking around with his hand on his stomach the whole time for someone to think it was real.
Right after that, though, the tree removal crew reported him to police, apparently mistaking the tat on his waistline for an actual firearm. Troopers quickly surrounded Smith's home. Obviously, it was a misunderstanding and he didn't have a weapon, but we had to respond to the initial report as if he did, a Maine State Police spokesman told the Morning Sentinel. We take all precautions when we don't have the details, which is a good thing. I would think that you would want to definitely make sure that you take precautions when you don't have a ton of details. I got plans today. I didn't want to get shot, Smith told the paper. The man with the gun tattoo will not face any charges. Now, what's really interesting about this is if you get a chance, Bobby might be able to pull it up so you can take a look at this, Dan. It is tattooed like it's in his waistband. It's a half gun. Like it's stuffed into his waistband. I don't think it's an actual full gun. I think it's literally just to where the waistband is, and it just looks like a quarter shot of the gun. Like, so, like, when you're wearing no shirt, yeah, exactly, it looks like it's tucked into your waistband, which, okay, you're just, this guy literally epitomizes everything that a certain voting section of this country, I think, embodies. I think this guy is it. This is the guy. What do you think, Dan?
I think they should have shot him anyways, not because they thought the gun was real, but because he got that tattoo in the first place. Right. I mean, it does. I'm looking at it, and it does. It looks like it's coming out of his pants. So, like, you have to be asking for trouble, or you're that guy that whenever you're in a troubled situation, you don't feel like fighting, you pull your shirt up because you want people to think that you have a gun. Either way, that's just bad judgment. That tells a lot about his character. And, you know, sometimes you got to shoot someone in the leg just to teach him a lesson, you know.
No, no, but I understand
best,
it.
The best part is the fools who actually sat there and were like, oh, my gosh, he's got a gun. Or like you're talking about in a fight, you want to try and get out of the fight, you lift your shirt up. I want to know who the idiot is that really thinks that the two-dimensional gun is going
to
hurt him.
Well, I mean, if you're far off, I mean, he just did yell at you. He did come out with his shirt off to yell at you about, like, getting off of his property. You're not, like, probably 10 feet from him.
Yeah,
you're probably, like, you know, 50 yards away from him cutting some trees on somebody else's property when you see this.
If things are getting heated and he pulls up his shirt quick enough, you're not going to think to look real close at it. You're just going to see that. And it is. It's a dark outline. It's in his waistline. I mean, for that, I could seriously see this guy getting into some trouble for it. I mean, we know the story now. So when we look at it right away, because what idiot would get a tattoo like that? It's someone who is obviously no stranger to trouble. And, like, no, you pick that up. You see that on first glimpse, especially when they're yelling and tempers are up. I would have done the same thing.
Right. Fair enough. No, I don't knock them for calling the police. I'm not against them.
I just want to know when he goes on stage, you know, what his name is, because it looks like one of those tattoos that the girls, you know, get on their hips, the star tattoos. It looks like he just didn't have the money to get the other side. Like, that's what it looks like. He looks like he's trying to, like...
And it's a really dark tattoo. I mean, it's just black ink. You can tell. It's just a black ink tattoo. And, of course, guns come off black ink in themselves. So I understand where everybody stands on this situation. I just think, first off, that's a Hoosier tattoo to get. Like, that is a super over-the-top Hoosier tattoo. Second, where you placed the tattoo on your body, you're specifically looking for a situation like that. Like, I don't think that you're, like, asking for that situation specific, but you are definitely wanting people to notice that it looks like you have a gun, tucked into your waistband. Like, that's literally where we stand on this situation. I just think it's ridiculous. And this is one of my problems that I have with a certain section of our society, and I know that that sounds stupid, but, like, the people that are just so... into this idea. We've talked about gun control and all that on the show before many right. times, but it's the people that are just so into it that they talk themselves up into such a frenzy about it that they go and get tattoos like this. Like, that's something that's on your body permanently. So you probably love guns. You have to, or else you're just being a real stupid idiot.
I think this one doesn't go as far. I don't see this guy as like an NRA guy. I see this as just a guy who
Hoosier.
Hoosier. Yeah,
just,
like,
I'm not saying
I'm going to say if he does have a gun, none of them are licensed. And like a guy who loves guns is going to put like, oh, you'll pry the gun away from my dead cold fingers. This guy just puts that in there. And he's just like, hey, I like trouble. And I don't like staying out of court for very long.
So
and,
I'm just going to keep doing what I
I'm
keep doing.
I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. I'm balding on top. Half of it is because
Eagles,
of the bad things I've
Patriots.
Done.
Patriots.
He is. Yeah, this guy's just, like, stupid. I think that should be in a whole other...
Doug Dynasty.
He can't vote because, first off, I'm pretty sure he has felonies. And
right.
So, like...
You have a tattoo of a gun in your waistband. You definitely have felonies.
Nobody says, what should I do about this particular situation? And then goes and knocks on this guy's door and be like, in your honest judgment, what should I... No one goes to him. Because they're like, look at that tattoo. You're a moron. I'm not even going to ask you where a good place to get my lawnmower blade sharpened. Like, let alone anything important.
Fair enough. All right, let's move on a little bit. Of course, every single week I like to get on here and rant a little bit, and I've got an entertaining rant, and I'm interested to hear your guys' opinion of this, because this whole Russia situation, like, we'll talk about the Malaysian airplane thing. I'm going to get your guys' opinion on that here in a few minutes, but before we get to that, I want to talk seriously about people and their ability to have knowledge. Like, okay, we talked last week, Bobby. We said that social media has kind of, like, become the bane of our existence.
Right.
And the fact
right.
that we just have now a filter problem. Like, we don't turn the filter off. I think that there's another piece of this, and I found it this week with this Russian-Ukraine-Crimea situation.
Okay?
And it's the fact that, simply, ladies and gentlemen, yes, we have a problem with Putin going into Russia, taking care of this Crimea issue with Ukraine, getting them to secede away from the Ukraine and all that, and that's great grand, and that's crazy. And yes, the United States of America has a play in this at some point. I don't know how deep that play is or what that play should be. It doesn't really matter. My point is this. The rest of you who aren't a black president named Obama, you're not John Kerry, you're not anybody that's on Capitol Hill or in the Senate. If you literally work at the Cupcake Factory clocking in 40 hours a week, and you get on Facebook to, like, let guys like me, who are sitting here, I'm not, this, listen, this is going to come off sounding, and I know that there's a certain individual out there that's listening to this show right now who's going to take this and feel that I'm going to be stepping over some boundaries, but I'm not stepping over any boundaries. And I want you to understand, this is going to sound harsh. This is going to sound arrogant and egotistical, and this is going to sound like a slap in your faces, but it's not. It's just an eye-opening reality of where we are as a country. You people don't know everything, okay? Nothing personal. A guy like me, Rachel Maddow, Glenn Beck, Bill O'Reilly, people who work for The Blaze, people who work for other major media outlets in the United States of America, sit here and we research this stuff all day long. We find out every little thing that we could possibly find out about Crimea and the Ukraine and Vladimir Putin and the United States relationship currently, as well as all the players around it and all that good stuff. That doesn't mean that I'm the smartest man in America when it comes to this stuff. That doesn't mean that Rachel Maddow is or Bill O'Reilly is. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that we're really researched in the things that we talk about. And so are the people on Capitol Hill. Let's be honest. Those guys that are sitting there at that round table with the admirals and the generals of the different sections of the military and all this, those guys are there specifically because they know what the hell they're doing. And they've been doing it for many, many years. There's a reason why I said at one point in history, Colin Powell would have made a great president, because he had certain aspects that I look for in a president, and the guy just knew his stuff and people respected him. He's just one of those people. And you, I know you guys sit there and think, you go into the voting booths in November and then you like vote for a person, and then supposedly the vote comes up on Capitol Hill of something that you're really against, and all of a sudden your guy votes for it and you're like, oh, that's it, we gotta get him out. Almost like Tony La Russa. Remember Tony La Russa?
Right, right.
We brought up the Tony La Russa thing before. Tony La Russa with the St. Louis Cardinals. Every single year these guys played baseball, they were in the playoffs, I think minus one year.
Right.
And they got like two World Series with them.
And that's it was my the point. Big situation.
And at the beginning of every single season, Bobby, as a sports guy, what would they always say about Tony La Russa at the beginning of every single season?
Tony La Russa is terrible. We shouldn't have Tony La Russa here.
We got to get rid of Tony La Russa.
Right.
I need you to talk about.
He makes bad decisions. Why would we have Tony La Russa as our manager?
Every year, this guy had you guys in the playoffs, but one year you won two World Series, and especially with a team the one year that should have never been in the World Series.
Right. Right.
Legitimately. It's the same idea. You got people that you voted for that are in these positions specifically because they're good at what they do. So when we get on Facebook and social media, this is coming back around to what my point was. When we get on Facebook and social media, ladies and gentlemen, we start having these discussions about Russia and Crimea and this place and that place. You don't have it all figured out. Let me tell you what you have figured out, okay? I'm going to tell you what you have figured out.
What do they got?
You work at the Country Club Car Wash, okay? You're 27 years old. You're a manager at the Country Club. Hell, you might even be a manager at like a supplement superstore or something stupid like that, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's the situation.
Booyah.
What your job all day is to do is sell people caffeine pills in a Blisco pack.
Bang.
That is what your job is literally to do. So if I have a question, I'm like, do you think Vladimir Putin's on a Blisco pack? Okay, then you can chime in and go, you know what? Here's my opinion. I know what I'm talking about. It doesn't look like he's on the Blisco pack. His delts and his triceps would be bigger.
I think the fact that he keeps such a lean build would definitely say that. I think he's on some kind of supplement. I mean, it's neither here nor there. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No.
I think first off, to be out there wrestling with cougars and stuff and whatever, he takes pictures with shirtless.
Exactly.
This guy is very confident in his body.
I want you to get your cougar.
So, you know, he's really going to go get me the tiger with the spots on and the white skin. It's a cougar, I don't care. Look at my abdominal muscles and the way that they glisten in the sun, and my slut girlfriend who lights the torch.
Exactly. That's my point, ladies and gentlemen. But that's what you know about, okay? Okay? All right? No disrespect.
Correct.
That's what you know about, okay? I'm not going to go to some social media wizard in the St. Louis area and ask him to explain to me how to change oils on Mercedes-Benz 550s, okay? You know why? Because that's not his thing or her thing.
Right.
What they know how to do is work social media. They know how to do this over here. And then the guy who owns Strange Donuts, which is a company here,
yeah,
he knows how to make donuts really well. Some of you have a hobby, and that hobby is you like to just, like, get out there and opinionate. I'm not knocking your opinion. I'm not saying you can't say that you don't like Russia, you don't like Crimea, you don't like the way Obama's handling this situation. I have no problem with that at all. Say that and get out. Because the minute you want to start going down the path of explaining to me or other people who are well-versed in this stuff, no disrespect, like I say, this is going to sound harsh and egotistical, but when you start going down that path, I had a lady, here, perfect example. One of the ladies that I had a discussion with,
okay,
her example for why she's so versed in Russia was she spent an hour on Twitter going back and forth with a chick who lives in northern Russia, like on the tip of the peninsulas way up north, where none of this stuff is being affected at all. In fact, that lady was asking her from the United States questions because they weren't getting a lot of details about stuff because they got spotty cell service and they don't have the ability to be on Twitter. Right. Like, it's not the easiest place.
And there's asteroids hitting there.
Right, there's asteroids hitting there and things like that. But my point is that she had to ask her to fill her in. Okay, last thing the Russian girl needs to do is have Marjorie, who's making quilts for a living, explain to her the entire, like, breakdown of the Ukraine-Russian-Putin situation, okay? That shouldn't be happening at all, and that's how we get into problems, ladies and gentlemen.
Right.
That's where we get into issues in the United States of America, because there's so many of you out there that are just really amped up about politics when it comes to voting for a president. You think that it applies to everything across the board. In case you haven't missed it, most of you are working 40 to 50 hour work weeks. Most of you got families and you're doing your own thing. You're not sitting there nose deep in an Encyclopedia Britannica trying to figure out the history of the Ottoman Empire. Okay?
Whoa.
That's not your thing. Are you?
I read volume one last night.
Fair enough. I understand that.
I didn't even know they still had it.
But that's my point. Like, ladies and gentlemen, I want you guys to, like, know what you do well and stick to that. I'm not saying don't have an opinion. I'm not saying don't have a hobby where you, like, go in. But if I can pick out very quickly via social media, the majority of you aren't on point with your topics and your information, I bet you, ladies and gentlemen, didn't even know this. I bet you didn't even know this. Did you realize that because of an earlier treaty that was done, if I remember correctly, with Turkey or the Ottoman Empire or whatever it was, quite a few hundred years ago, based off of that alone, the minute that Crimea separated from the Ukraine earlier this past week, they actually, even though Russia's now taking advantage of that situation and saying they're with Russia, they actually, I think, technically go back to the Ottoman Empire. Now, how like, that's weird. Like, that's another discussion we need to have, too. But anyway, my point was this. I'm going to have that discussion right now. But my point is this. Stop acting like you know what you're talking about all the time. There are other people that know better than you. And I don't know everything. Do you know how many times I... Listen, Bobby, how much do I know about sports outside of professional wrestling and college basketball?
Not too much.
Very little. Bobby's favorite team is the Chicago Bears. I know this.
I will punch you.
That's not your favorite team?
No.
Who's your favorite team?
The Green Bay Packers.
See, that's my point, ladies and gentlemen. I don't even know what teams this man sitting across from me. So I'm not going to get out there and go, well, you know, DeMarcus Javarkis, Lilliquist, or whatever his name is.
Flaxen.
Yeah, I'm not going to sit there and try to explain to you how Flaxen, Waxen, Jackson, Maxen, or whatever his name is like, or Donkey Teeth. Yes, Donkey Teeth. If you don't know what we're talking about, we're actually hitting on Key and Peele, which is a comedy duo that has a show that's on Comedy Central. They did they were so enamored with how crazy these names are getting in college football, Dan, that they decided to do a skit.
They did like three of them.
Three of them making fun of the names in college football and stuff like that. That's what I'm talking about. Like, I don't try to, like, pontificate or discuss sports because that's not my thing. Okay? Now, let me get back to this other thing that I brought up at the end of that. How long do you think a contract or a treaty should last? I'm not talking about stuff that we've done within the last 100 years. I'm talking about stuff that technically exists still from 300 years ago, but it's been so long since the players that were involved created that treaty. No one remembers that treaty really exists except for one historian who happens to see a situation go down and goes, well, you know, technically. That's like when people talk about the state of Texas. We've talked about it on the show. They actually have the legal right to secede from the United States. states at any time, because when they were indoctrinated as a state into the United States of America, they put a clause into their contract with the United States that says if things weren't going well, they have the right to secede. And to this day, they literally have that right to secede. And that was like back in the 1800s.
Yeah, but I believe when like treaties and things like that are signed, they're indefinite unless there's been a change to that treaty or that contract has been made, because the Treaty of Versailles still is in place against the Germans.
Right. Well, and so my point is this, though. At some point, if Turkey or the Ottoman Empire, or the remnants of the Ottoman Empire back then, literally decided to call the Crimea situation and say, no, that's our land right there, we know where this is going. We know where this is going. This is starting to edge, like we talked about.
Right.
If people start pulling their cards and start saying, no, Putin, you can't have Crimea technically off this treaty that was 200 years before you did what you just did, you have to give that up to us. That's a part of our country now. I think at that point, now we're going to start getting towards the edges of what could turn into a small world war. Like, you're starting to get into power players in different countries. They're going to start arguing over land masses and things like that, which is quite a bit of what the wars that we talk about the most often weren't about land masses. But yet, even World War II was about him taking over countries.
Well, a friend of mine that lives in Russia said that when Putin came into power, his family, his dad was part of the Red Army and stuff like that during the civil or the Soviet Union, but when Putin came into power, he said his family was actually afraid when Putin came into power, because they have always thought, even though they elected him, that he would bring about a third world war.
All right, now let me finalize some things up for you guys out there before we hit the bottom of the hour on the show here. Really simply, Crimea put this to a vote. Yes, there were thousands of Russian troops surrounding Crimea to protect it in case the Ukraine decided that they were going to come in. But Crimea speaks Russian primarily, even though they could have adopted the Ukrainian language. They chose not to. They had their own personal vote, and the country overwhelmingly voted to leave the control of Ukraine and be under the control of Vladimir Putin. That's not forcing he didn't force a hand. Literally, they voted for this. Now, was he standing there? Were there troops surrounding it? Yes, but those guns weren't on the people voting. Those guns were focused at the Ukraine and everywhere else around, away, saying, let these guys vote and see where they stand. At the end of that, they stood with the Russian Federation. Like, they want to be a part of Russia. And kind of like the beginnings of the old USSR coming back together. That's where we're at.
You know what I think about it, Mark?
What do you think?
I think Crimea River. Okay.
Crimea River.
Because, okay. You know, I want back in power. I want them to bring back Boris Yeltsin.
What about Mikhail Gorbachev?
No, I want Boris, dude, because Boris was just drunk all the time. And he, like, fell down steps and stuff.
The jelly over the eye.
Yeah, that
like
was
the big birthmark over the face and
that's
the eyes.
Creepy, but come on. Old Boris always looked like he was hammered and having a great time.
Boris did have
like
a great time.
He looked like that dude at the end of the bar that, like, no matter what was going on, he was always, like, giggling. And, like, everyone could just be quiet and depressed. But he's
that's
like,
because
yes,
Boris...
I like this bar. It's my kind of place. No cover charge.
Here's my point. Like, Gorbachev and Yeltsin, the reason that they were good for what they did was they came up in that Cold War era. They understood the validity of nukes being used and argumentatively being used against each other, and like Khrushchev talking about how the Bay of Pigs, like how he was going to use the nukes from Cuba on the United. Like, they come from a different. Putin, he comes from that old Russian Federation, comes from the old USSR, he comes from that old KGB and that old communist regime. But the problem with him is that he's not focused on thinking about how this is going to play out on a worldwide scale. Back in those days, the nuclear weapons that were developed were big enough to, like, go overseas and bomb an entire country. But now we have so many levels underneath those that can be just as dangerous, if not more, that, like, it kind of takes the free rein off. Like, you're not as scared because you're like, well, I've got some interballistic missiles, so I can, just take out these few countries right around here. I don't have to just always send the big dog all the way over to the United States to try to take out New York.
Little spring cleaning. You know
yeah, a
mean?
Little spring just cleaning. That's my point. And when you feel that you can spring clean, here's my problem with Putin. He thinks he's Genghis Khan. He thinks he lives in a time period where you just get all of your soldiers together and you just start running amok and doing your thing, and he thinks that that's okay. And the last person who tried that literally was Adolf Hitler. Butler, and he had a massive army, and it took years to put that man down. But he had a way bigger army that was way more vindicated when it was all said and done than Putin ever will have.
But you also got to look at, like, World War One, whenever Russia was a major player in getting that started, and they actually went through, what is it, three changes of power, three government structures, and they had a massive army, but not enough arms to arm them, and they actually got their butts handed to them.
Fair enough. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break here on The Cue. When we come back, more with producer Bobby, Dan Walsh, as well as myself, Mark Bland. Check us out at thecuenow.com during the break. We'll be back right after this.
Nothing says I love you, I'm thinking about you, or I miss you like a beautiful bouquet of fresh flowers from proflowers.com. Flowers are a festive way to dress up a birthday, holiday, or anniversary. Plus, prices start at $19.99 and include a free vase. Every bouquet is guaranteed to last at least 7 days. To send a thoughtful bouquet, go to proflowers.com/radio. And to receive this special offer, enter code COLOR. That's proflowers.com/radio, code COLOR.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to The Cue. Of course, Mark Bland joined today by the Polar Vortex, straight off of the Polar Vortex Tour, the Danimal, the heavyweight champion of The Cue.
The king of all media.
He's not the king of all media.
He is in Czechoslovakia.
Oh, my goodness. He's in so many places, ladies and gentlemen. Dan Walsh is here. How was Botswana, by the way?
It was amazing. I used my underwater phone.
Oh, there you go. Did you find the mysterious Malaysian flight that has disappeared? No?
No, I did not. No, I was looking high and low. But I'm going to be honest.
You were like Tattoo from Fantasy Island?
I said, hey, boss, where's the plane? How do you lose an entire plane?
You know,
I just want to know.
That's the funny thing, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't really touched on this Malaysian flight situation much at all, and I'm not going to get into it too deep, but I do want to talk to the three of us here. I really want to kind of pass around the table what you think happened on this Malaysian flight. We have a huge 777 airliner. Now, this thing is like, first off, this thing's going to take at least 2,000 feet just to land, okay? Mm-hmm. It is massive, all right? You got over 200 people. Gone. Flight crew, gone. The whole thing just disappears out of absolutely nowhere.
No debris, nothing. And that's what's crazy about it, because especially when they start to uncover all this crazy stuff, stolen passports, you know, like suspicious characters. I mean, normally in a sea impact, you're going to get floating debris.
At least something.
There's nothing.
Yes.
There is nothing.
And that's
it's
the
gone.
Thing. Like, I've heard a lot of conspiracy theories. Like, one of my favorites was that the people landed the plane and then they took everyone hostage. And I'm like, hostage without a ransom? Hostage without, like trying to put out to the world that they have the people? Just like, oh, no, we're just going to stay here hostage.
Maybe it's something we don't know about, man. I mean, maybe there is going to be something. I mean, it's just, it's crazy.
Some of the stuff that I've heard about this whole situation is that the pilot had a flight simulator at his house.
Okay.
And some of the data from that flight simulator has been deleted by the pilot prior to them leaving. Well, they don't know what's going on, but forensic work is trying to recover that information, as well as the Malaysian authorities have received background information from all countries where the passengers were from, except for the passengers from Russia and the Ukraine, which they will not give up information about these passengers. But the crazy thing really is the fact that, you know, I think it was the Chinese found, based upon their satellites, found a site of wreckage, but the Malaysian government and the what's it called, the NTSB, won't go there to find out if this is the flight. They're saying that no, that's something completely different. But this all reminds me, and I watched this documentary on this, a flight that happened in Michigan back in 1954, after reading about all this, where the plane crashed somewhere in Lake Michigan, just disappeared off radar. There's no traces of the plane. They've searched through Lake Michigan, can't find anything of the plane, and no one knows what happened.
It's so weird. It's just, it's a really weird, and here's the other thing, ladies and gentlemen. We all have cell phones, okay? These things can find us. Anyway, did you hear the story? This is how deep it gets now. Did you hear the story from last week? And this was just a small story that just kind of came out, went out of nowhere. I thought it was a really great story that they should have, like, really picked up and ran with, and they might eventually come back around and catch it, but there was a lady who's been, like, stranded on a deserted island for, like, upwards of 7 to 10 years, or maybe 15 years or something like that, and this kid here in the United States was goofing around on Google Maps and literally found the island and saw the S, because you know how they take, like, the aerial pictures of the satellite imagery of the entire Earth for Google Maps? They found a picture of a beach that had the words SOS on this island at these specific coordinates. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, like, after many years of this lady living by herself, completely stranded, her two friends passed away and everything, like, all of a sudden, here comes an airplane, it drops, like, a radio phone and like, a care package and stuff, and they saved her. Literally off that. They can do that now with, like, I understand some of these planes are old, and I get it, but at the same point, with what we have in 2014 as technology for radar, as satellites, and all that good stuff, it's hard for me to believe that they just can't keep track of huge planes with massive amounts of people on it.
Especially when they knew, I mean, they caught wind of this, obviously, right away. So if you look at satellite imagery right away, the plane is going to sink, I understand, even if it crashes, but it's not going to get that deep before you can get onto some kind of satellite search and find some sort of evidence of wreckage or
they
something.
All have black boxes that supposedly have a GPS, like, beeping thing in them. Like, that's, like, mandatory in all planes that are built ever since, like, the 80s or something like that. Now, I don't know how old this specific plane is, but a 777, if I'm incorrect, Bobby, you can correct me.
No, it is a 777. That's a much 200.
Yeah, but that's a newer size jet.
It is, but here's the thing: the flight data recorders in the black boxes have to survive the crash. Now, one thing that is pretty interesting is an Air France flight 447, which was not a 777, but the predecessor, a 767.
Okay.
It crashed back in the 2009 in the Atlantic Ocean, killing all 228 people on board. But the reason that it took 2 years to find the wreckage and the bodies was because the wreckage had sunk to a depth of 12,000 feet. The human body cannot withstand going down that far.
Oh, yeah.
Without being encapsulated.
And there's probably not a lot of things that are trying to, like, search that deep into the ocean.
Correct.
Like, the things that do exist that are searching that deep, they have specific spots they're working on currently. They're not just hitting everywhere all the time.
Right. But the interesting thing is the Bay of Bengal, where they think that the plane may have gone down, which is in between Myanmar and India, the Bay of Bengal only has an average depth. Its average depth is 1,300 feet. So if it went all the way to the bottom, 13,000 feet. 13,000 feet is pretty far down there, between 13,000 feet and 23,000 feet.
And that's the thing, ladies and gentlemen. We're just going to have to accept the fact that potentially a plane disappeared. A lot of people are either dead or missing, or both, potentially. And
or swimming,
or we're not
hoping that we find them.
Yeah, and this might go down in history as just like the next version of the Titanic, like literally. Except for the fact we knew where the Titanic went down; it was just a massive tragedy. This is just the same thing almost, except for we just don't know where it went down. But it's done.
Where was did they? I can't. Did they say there was a mayday call, or if
no,
there
no.
wasn't? And that's another one. Like, you would think that when you were going down, there'd be some kind of, like, reach out, and there doesn't seem to be any reported.
Well, the other thing that's really weird is normally it's not the co-pilot that gives the all clear to the tower that everything's okay, we're entering new airspace. It was the co-pilot. Co-pilot was the last person to make contact with the tower with air traffic control. So that right there is really crazy. But here's what I'm thinking. And, I mean, I'm a person that starts conspiracy theories.
I know you
off.
Do. We've had the discussion of Sandy Hook here on the show.
So, potentially, you know, what if all of these people are perfectly fine somewhere, but they're using this as a diplomatic, who knows what the diplomatic reasoning is, but what if they're using this for that kind of purpose?
Like, they're basically using them as a hostage but not technically hostage.
Correct.
They're using it as a piece of leverage.
Right.
For something. Yeah, okay. You got a lot of things going on with Vladimir Putin. You said that the only ones that they couldn't find the information
are the Russian and the Ukrainians.
The Russians and Ukrainians. Maybe it's possible. I'm not going to sit there and say it ain't possible.
And we're saying, I mean, how long ago did this happen?
It's been 14 days.
All right, so 14 days. If they are pulling this off, there's got to be regroup times. They got to round everybody up. You know what I mean? There has to be an organized plan that's sent out. So it may take a few weeks for them to get everybody together, get everything together, what they're going to do, properly hide them, get rid of the plane, do what they got to do. I mean, this is just because we haven't heard yet doesn't mean we won't hear, you know?
Well, the other thing, too, that's pretty interesting about the families and stuff, you know, you said round up the families. You know, the family has the family was notified almost like 12 hours prior to this plane being confirmed missing or notified as missing. They were notified that they needed to come to the hotel in China or Beijing where the flight was supposed to be going. They were notified to show up at the hotel in Beijing because there was pertinent information about the flight and their loved ones that needed to be relayed to them. And then they sat in a room for 14 hours before anybody gave them any information.
This is still a pretty fresh situation. We're only 2 weeks out, and we know how, like, it took months and months after 9/11 happened for, like, all the information to really filter out properly, all the he said, she said stuff to go away, the smoke and mirrors to kind of, like, settle down.
Yeah, but look at things like TWA Flight 800 that happened in 2000. People are still coming up with theories on how that plane was brought down. Was it a missile from a submarine? Was it an actual engine failure and then the engine exploded and brought it down? You know, what was it? Because there was a lot of there's a great documentary called TWA Flight 800, which is on Netflix. If you watch it, there's actual members of the NTSB board that were there that the FBI would come in after they would tag items.
Right.
And re-tag them as something that was not important when the NTSB would tag them as something that was important that needed to be watched so that they could alter the story of what happened.
Okay, all right, okay. Here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen. If something bad happens in the United States of America or that is tied to the United States of America, or let's even go one step further, just in the world in general, no matter where, like, we kind of are pretty moralistically ritualized in the way that we handle the handle situations of magnitude. A lot of other countries aren't. They still kind of, like, live in a very primordial state. When it comes to how they handle things, you know, like we talked to Koba when Koba was talking about Georgia and the fact that the mafia of Russia still has a heavy hand the day-to-day workings of the government through many of those countries over there. Okay.
Correct.
Like, we don't have that here in the United States. Like, at one time that did exist, but, like, our moral values and all that kind of overtook that, and we kind of cleaned all the BS out. That doesn't happen everywhere else. So you're going to have conspiracy. You're going to have a lot of conjecture. You're going to have a lot of things that are just odd and weird that are never going to be answered. Like, we talked about 9/11 here.
Well, 9/11, the JFK situation.
Like, seriously, there's stuff even here with all that I just put out there on the table, we still don't have all the information on. That they're still not releasing to us or telling us about. That they probably do know about. You know, like, Bobby, do you believe that Area 51, aliens? Are you up on? Do you feel that Area 51 actually was the spot where aliens were found, or there was an aircraft where aliens
found? I believe they are still there. Yes,
you believe it. What about you, Dan? Where do you stand on that?
I believe if they were there at one point, they're not anymore because everybody knows about it. But I do believe that we've uncovered extraterrestrial life. I'm a firm believer that there's miles upon miles, upon thousands of millions of miles of, and just to believe that it's just us here is a very arrogant way to think.
Of course,
I think that we have it. I think they moved it because of all.
But what about
the
idea? What about the idea that yes, millions of galaxies, millions of stars, millions of planets that we have never even seen that don't exist. What is the idea that they have gotten to what we consider? I'm going to be very careful here, but what is the chances that they've gotten to comic book level science fiction? alien-wise in those other societies to the point where we're the rudimentary ones. We're the mongoloids in the solar system. What's the chances that just all those other planets that might have life, might have civilizations like ours, have the exact same, like, the idea that the Earth is the only thing that could have a star of that size with all these right elements that can combine together and create what we know as our system, our ecosystem, that created, or, you know, or a god, as we could say, you say a god, you know, that created another planet that has it. What's to say that they're at this alien level with all this extremely advanced technology and all that? They might be in the same spot we are. They got their own versions of Titanic and missing Malaysian flights and things like that. They're just human beings like us. They might not look exactly like us, but, you know.
I think where that all comes down to is there's a great documentary, because we're mentioning documentaries here, because that makes us sound more smart, or smarter. But there's a really, really cool documentary where they start to look at ancient hieroglyphics on, like, caves, and how in different regions of the world there is similar drawings and similar etchings, and they all tell a story of a person or a being that kind of got society started, told them what to do, told them how to do things, and then said they would return one day. Some people develop that into this theory of God. Some people think of it as there was an extraterrestrial being from another planet who came down and helped the primitive force kind of start their own society and then would come back to check up on them. If that's the thought process, that's where we see them as superior, and that would also explain why they would come back to check up on us and maybe why they would crash and why we have some kind of evidence of them somewhere.
Well, that's where I have a problem then, because when you start talking about something like Egypt and the pyramids, right. Okay, the classic conspiracy or idea of how the pyramids were built, right? The idea that, okay, at one point in history, they were able to create pyramids out of huge rock formations and stacking them up to create what this is. And then here we are in 2014, and we can't recreate this at all. Okay? Yet they were able to create it in the first place, and we are so much more technologically advanced. Is it the fact that we can't recreate the pyramids in the way that they created them, or is it we just don't care to try? I think it's that we just don't care to try.
I agree with you there. I think the one thing that was really interesting that I saw was, all right, there's multiple different, like statues, South America, Europe, everywhere, where they show this like a snake, and it has a man's head on the inside, so it's a snake man. But then someone took a picture.
Does it have a name?
No. But it took a picture.
Can we call it
of a guy in a space suit with those space helmets, and his face is inside of it. And what does that helmet look like? An open mouth. So, like, maybe they took it and just elaborated to make the story more entertaining because they want, or just people just play telephone.
That's where you start to go down the road of the Bible and God and other things like what you're talking about. Like, were these just stories? Because, let's be honest, we have our cell phones, we have entertainment, we have shows and radio shows like The Q and all that. By the way, check out theq9.com. And we have all these things like pro wrestling where you can watch and be entertained. We have all of that in 2014. They had none of that 500 years ago. They had none of that 1,000 years ago or 2,000 years ago.
Like the Colosseum, and like they did have like.
But 2,000 years ago. At a certain point in history, they didn't. At a certain point in history, they literally would wake up. They had no jobs. They had no bosses. They had no money system. You know, how they traded and bartered is however they did it between their own little grouping of people, maybe 30 people out on some deserted plain in the middle of Africa or Australia or wherever it is. You know what I'm saying? They would get up, they would hunt because they were hungry. Because they were hungry. You know what I'm saying? And then they would, like, create fire so that they could stay warm. And they would, like, eat animals. And that was their whole day. Like, and then talking to each other. So, like, that's how they kept each other entertained, was creating stories, expounding upon those stories, and then, like, adding to them over the years until we get to where we're at. Yeah, and document until we get to where we're at. That doesn't, like, here's the beauty of the Bible is in the oh my goodness, now I'm going to blank right now, but like,
You better not
the
blank.
The Sphinx.
No. I'm talking about the Bible. There's the two versions of it. There's the Old Testament
new?
And the New Testament. Okay.
Did you really forget Old
yes,
and New?
Yes, I did, man. Just for a second. Like, listen, when you get on a move, sometimes you forget things. Things just kind of blow
okay,
out of your mind.
Okay,
I'm a true Catholic. There you go. I'm a true Catholic. There you go.
Vatican I and Vatican II, then. Yeah. That's all you needed to know.
But in the Old Testament, those are just recreations of stories that were written down many, 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 many years after they existed. And then even the New Testament is not actual stuff that happened at that moment. It's still retelling of stories that were 200, 300, 400 years earlier than when they wrote those.
It's a re-elaboration to fit the concept that they were trying to push at that time.
Whereas we now, like right now, we are recording this show for everyone out there throughout the United States that listens every single week, and thank you so much for doing that. But we are creating this now. It is a piece of history that is being done as it is done, and therefore it exists. We're not going to wait 300 years to tell the story of how Mark, Dan, and Bobby sat together at the radio station, and this is what they talked about that day. But that would be really cool. I think that we should do an entire show. No, I think
we should do a time capsule show.
I think we should do an entire episode of the show where we have someone else come in and watch us do this, and then like 3 or 4 weeks later, based off the notes that they take, they do the full 2 hours with their own crew, but they tell the stories from their point of view, and then they say, that's what happened that day.
I like that.
Instead of us playing what actually happened.
I think we should do it with somebody who does not speak English. In fact, like knows nothing about English.
Could we get Vladimir Putin?
Yeah, we're going to get him in here. And then they got to retranslate it into their language, possibly mistranslating certain things.
Vladimir Putin
and then we go on it. So it's exactly like
Vladimir
the Bible.
Vladimir Putin would be talking about Area 51 and Dan's thing. He would be like,
my name is Dan Walsh. I'm the polar vortex. And my chest is so etched like Greek god. I like daggers and shirtless pig selfies.
That's right. That's exactly what Dan's... But see, that's my point. Like, it's the idea of telephone. The idea that, like, the story goes through so many translations that, like, 300 years from now, they tell the story of this show, and then it's like... And then Dan was sitting there, and they had 4 microphones, when the truth is, we only had 2 that day. You know right. what I'm saying? Like, and they're like, oh, and Dan was dressed up like a clown. He had a big old nose on it, like, and he's not dressed like that at all. Like, but the story becomes that, is what I'm saying.
You're killing the fantasy. I think what it is, going back to what you said about why can't we recreate the pyramids, I think it has to do with one word that has developed since that time, and that word is gluttony. I think that we, as a person...
Eat a lot?
No. Well, gluttony doesn't have to do with food, though.
True. It doesn't always have to.
Right. It can
supposedly
do,
it is. Like, that's the original sin.
That's where it originally came from, because of glucose. But gluttony...
Go on.
Just go on.
Yes. But anyway, we just became so encased in wanting more and more and more that we don't care about the small primitive things. And that's what they were more worried about back then, is they were more worried about the small things and every small little detail. We're worried about the bigger picture.
I think the perfect symbolism of this was how the United States just dominated in basketball for so long, and then we got to a point where we were so showboaty and doing all the slam dunks that we forgot how to do layups. And 1 year in the championships, yeah, we got beat by, like, Serbia. And that has nothing to do with what we were talking about. But, no, like, one thing you're talking about, like, what repeats in time. A perfect example. If you go back to ancient, like, Eastern philosophy, okay? You had everybody that was going on about, like, the way of life, peaceful, all that, a force that is in motion. And then out of nowhere, here comes the Brahmins. And these guys believe only that, like, God is just this force that just shoots stuff out, and that's the world. He doesn't love you. There's no significance to the relationship. At that time, there was the argument of science against religion. And it goes from all different regions. It goes at all different stages of time. We repeat certain arguments, but at the same time, it all has the same premise. I think it was started a long time ago, and I think that some interference had something to do with that, to put that in our mind, to set that kind of dispute, how two people perceived one being, whether they were an emotional god or emotional spiritual god, or whether they were just scientifically more advanced. Maybe it's both, but I believe that's where this alien that came down beforehand possibly is what also not only began our way we live our lives, but also began the dispute of science over religion, even though maybe in a possibility they both link at some point.
I don't know. I think it's just really weird. No matter where we want to go with this, we start off with the Malaysian flight. We got into conspiracy theories and the idea of, like, how the game of telephone over history works. You know
what I'm saying is aliens took the plane, and okay, that's why we right. can't find it.
With Vladimir Putin. He's like, come here, you with the long fingers
and the big eyeballs. Take the plane, and we bring it into my backyard with the cheetah and my chest.
All right, fair enough. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're getting close to the top of the hour for the news. And before we get to that, I want to talk about something that we are doing at theqnow.com. If you go to theqnow.com and you click on the contest section at the top of the website, you will see that we are giving away passes, tickets, to see Justin Moore live in concert here in St. Louis, Missouri on March 27th at 7 p.m. at the Chaffetz Arena. We got some tickets to give away, and it's absolutely free. It doesn't cost you a single dime. All you got to do is go in there, click on contest at theqnow.com, sign up, fill in your little information. We will pick a winner, and then we're going to send those tickets out to someone who's going to see Justin Moore, Randy Houser, as well as Josh Thompson live at the Chaffetz Arena on March 27th at 7 p.m. That all happens at theqnow.com, as well as old episodes, new episodes, and a lot of great other things. We're going to take a quick break here on the show. When we come back, more with myself, Dan Walsh, as well as producer Bobby. We will see you on the Q in just a few.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. Call 1-800-975-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So, disable the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-800-975-MYTV. Right now, to sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and up to four rooms. 1-800-975-MYTV.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Q. Of course, woo! Producer Bobby and the Polar Vortex, Dan Walsh.
Bang, bang, baby!
Oh, man. You didn't take a bang this week, did you now? Please. Please tell me you didn't take a bang.
No, I didn't take a bang, but I might take one later.
Oh, my goodness, man. You were just on edge last week. We had Lou Ferrani on last week's show from the show Inside the Gangster's Code on Discovery Channel. And Dan Walsh, you missed an amazing... While you were searching for Malaysian flights out of Botswana.
Yeah, you, with my water phone.
With your water phone. You were missing one of the best interviews we've ever had. If you get a chance, go back and check out that episode. It's the last episode before this one.
I did give Bobby the bang, though, so I feel like I was involved in some point.
You were a part of his, like, erratic sense of irony.
And just probably really close to a heart attack at some point.
Yeah, I would say that, very good chance.
357 milligrams of caffeine is not safe for anybody in one sitting. But he took it like a champ along with some amino acids. Good job. Good job, Bobby.
Well, hey, we've been talking about a little bit of everything. Let's move on here. As same-sex marriage debate rages, one person says he won't be weighing in on the subject anymore. Dan Cathy, the CEO and president of Chick-fil-A, almost 2 years after he made headlines by throwing his support behind traditional marriage and later decried a pair of Supreme Court decisions that favored same-sex unions, Cathy hasn't changed his mind, but he said Atlanta-based Chick-fil-A has no place in culture wars and regrets making the company a symbol in the marriage debate. Every leader goes through different phases of maturity, growth, and development, and it helps by recognizing those mistakes that you make, Cathy said. And you learn from those mistakes. If not, you're just a fool. I'm thankful that I lived through it and I learned a lot from it. Cathy talked about the events of the summer of 2012 in a wide-ranging interview that included his thoughts about the company's future and the path he wants to put it on as the newly named CEO. He got the title in November after his father's Chick-fil-A founder, Truett Cathy, stepped aside at the age of 92 years old.
Holy crap.
Still, as Cathy starts the job, the company's link to the gay marriage debate lingers and it still occupies the niche as the only major fast food chain that isn't open on Sundays, owing it to the Christian pro-family convictions of the elder Cathy, something Dan Cathy says he will not be changing. Cathy told the online publication in 2012 that he was guilty as charged of his religious-based opposition to gay marriage. Same-sex marriage supporters protested at Chick-fil-A locations. Thousands who backed Cathy's stance, or at least his right to state it, packed the stores, creating lines that snaked out the door. The company tried to extricate itself from the controversy by repeatedly asserting it does not discriminate against its companies or its customers or employees on the basis of sexual orientation. Probably the element that were the most stressful for me for the most is from our internal staff and operators and how that was affecting them. The bottom line is we have a responsibility here to keep the whole organization in mind, and it has to take precedence over the personal expression and opinion on social issues. Let me weigh in on this, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay.
Well, go ahead, Bobby.
Well, what I was going to say is just that so I think it was the dad, the older guy, that made the statement about, you know, not liking gay people or something like that.
Well, no, Dan was there too. He was part of that. He was just a lower man on the totem pole.
Oh, okay. Well, in any sense, you know, they were speaking their mind, just like all of our other politicians are doing. They're speaking their mind. So they were part of the CEO and the CFO or whatever of a major company like Chick-fil-A. Awesome. Why don't we hold people like
you know, a Steve Jobs or, you know, when he was alive or something like that. Somebody else who makes radical comments, why don't we hold them accountable like that for their comments?
No, no, I understand what
you're
saying.
The situation was not that simple, and this is where my anger came with it. It all started whenever he was going to do a recall on Jim Henson products that he was giving out in his kids' meals because he stated that they were unsafe and being recalled, which was completely false. That was slander. That is illegal. Then, after he got pressured and was asked to show evidence and he couldn't, and he's basically caught, he then comes out and says that he's against Jim Henson and his homosexual ties and that he's against homosexual marriage and tries to make it this big moral thing and poor me, I'm being attacked, and then tries to make it Customer Appreciation Day, when in reality what he did was tried to bash a product because of his own bias and wasn't man enough to come out and say why he was doing it. He wasn't brave. He wasn't issuing his own opinion. He did it like a coward. He got caught. And then tried to make it about, oh, I can say what I want, I'm the victim. No,
and
that's what he did wrong.
And why he's turning face now is simple. He lost money. He's losing money. He's hemorrhaging it because all of those people who were Chick-fil-A fans that happened to be gay or in same-sex marriages or whatever, those people found out what his beliefs were and that the company was going to stand behind it. And they were like, we're no longer going to sell our food there to you guys. Or we're not sell our food. We're no longer going to come there and buy food from you guys because you have this belief against me and my beliefs. So guess what? My money stays in my pocket. And then he started hemorrhaging money and losing money because of that. Now he's got to turn face real quick, come back and say, well, you know, I still hold that, you know, in the religious beliefs that I have with church on Sunday and all that, we don't support same-sex marriage and gay, but at the same point, like, we're not discriminating against, you never were discriminating. That's the problem. You were never discriminating. What you just did was you just kind of threw your thing out on the table to let everybody know where you stood, and you said that the company was behind that too. You didn't discriminate because a gay person could have still walked in there at that time period and bought a Chick-fil-A sandwich. You still would have sold to them. You still would have taken their money.
No one would have been upset if he would. You know, that is freedom of speech. You can come out and say,
right,
he just said right in the beginning, I'm against gay marriage. That's your right. What you did was the most cowardly thing, is instead of being a man and saying it at first, you tried to destroy the credibility of a company and destroy the credibility of a product when it didn't need to be.
Exactly.
And then when you got busted for it to cover your backside, then you made it about you being attacked. And then you know what you did? You started this battle between religious right people and homosexuals that didn't need to be there, when the only reason it's there is because you did something stupid. You did a spineless act, and now you're trying to throw it on, oh, this is my right. No, it's not your right to be a complete coward, and you should be called out.
And you know what's really funny is why he got, like I said, it's the money issue. He really thought that because he had this stance, that these people who were convicted in the same ideas and beliefs as him on this Customer Appreciation Day type thing, they were going to just keep coming back and fill in his pockets, and they were going to literally offset the loss of monies that he would get from same-sex people as well as homosexuals and all that. That's not the truth. You see, most of those people came to your Customer Appreciation Days, and maybe for a month afterwards, just for the fact that they wanted to let people know that they also have this kind of, how should I say this, discriminating attitude towards a certain section of our culture, even though they're not physically saying it. Like when all the news crews were out there, as they were coming out, they were like showing their bags off right to the news crews. Why were you here today? Well, it's Customer Appreciation Day. Of course. By the way, did you check out my gun tattoo that's right here in my waistband?
Yeah.
You know, like that. They show their gun, and then they're like, it's a check out my bag. I support what Chick-fil-A says. But here's the thing. Chick-fil-A is not the first thing that comes to most people's minds. Everybody's kind of got their own thing that they like when it comes to fast food places. So not every single day is Chick-fil-A going to be on that person's mind. And once this whole hubbub with the TV crews and the whole idea of it's about, you know, we don't like the gays, we only like, you know, normal straight Catholic and Christians and blah, 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 this, that, and the other, when that wears off, all of a sudden, I'm not getting done at the electrical union shop and thinking I need to get over to Chick-fil-A because it's all about my convictions. No, you're like, I'm just going to stop at Pizza Hut on the way home and grab a pizza or whatever. Like, you stop spending money there and all that coolness goes away, and now you're just left with, yeah, they were there cool for a month. Now they're not there, and you just lost $20 million in profit.
What he did is he stirred up hate that probably was not there to the degree. Because like I said, I respect people's right to be against gay marriage. I respect their right to do that, and I think that they should have the right to voice that opinion. What I don't like is coward businessmen who screw up and then try to draw a battle line to save their own backsides and then try to make themselves out to be the victim. That's what I'm mad about. I'm mad about his decision as a businessman and how unprofessional he showed himself, and this is another reason people are getting really ticked off with the religious right and people that are strong in their convictions because of how judgmental they're becoming and how they're making everything about that. You know, quit forcing. Here's my thing. There's a time and place for everything. You know what I mean? Football guys go to sports bars and do their football stuff. They don't go into, you know, a normal store and then ask a guy if he likes football. And then when he says no, they'll be like, why not? You should like football. And then talk to him about it because he's not into football. Respect. I don't know. That was a rant. I'm sorry. But
I know the gym guys need to find the right lighting for Instagram photos, whenever they're standing
in
the gym.
It's always in the parking lot, bro.
There's a spot in every, like, if you work out at gyms, there's always the guy who, you got to find the right lighting inside the gym, and you always got to be doing curls. Like, if you ain't got no thing going on, you need to be doing some curls. You know what I'm saying?
You always
got
to do curls, buddy. It's your beauty muscle.
My favorite are the guys that, like, when a machine's getting used, they decide to go over to the leg machine and, like, start curling with the leg machine.
Yeah.
Those guys are sweet. I love those guys.
I like dudes who do pull-ups on things you're not supposed to do pull-ups on, and then they accidentally break it.
To get back to what you were trying to say there. I got something even better for you, Dan. I got something even better for you. State Senator Phil Jensen, a Republican from South Dakota, considers himself to be one of the most conservative people in South Dakota. He also believes that too many people in the Republican Party are only Republicans in name. Recently, Jensen came under fire for comments he made about a bill that would permit South Dakota businesses. You ready for this one? Because if you didn't like the Chick-fil-A thing, this is really going to set you up. That would permit South Dakota businesses and residents to refuse service to customers based on their sexual orientation. In an interview published in the Rapid City Journal, Jensen's logic didn't quite earn him any brownie points. If someone was a member of the Ku Klux Klan and they were running a little bakery, for instance, the majority of us would find it detestable that they would refuse to serve blacks, and guess what? In a matter of weeks or so, the business would shut down because no one is going to patronize them, Jensen told the Journal, advocating for the free market's role in promoting civil rights. President of the Black Hill Center for Equality, David Patton, a vocal opponent of SB 128, rejected Jensen's reasoning, citing the necessity of civil rights legislation to protect minority groups. The free market didn't do away with slavery, Patton told the Journal. Although the bill was rejected and some Republicans referred to it as deplorable and sick, Jensen is still in support of it. He says the bill would have ensured the freedom of businesses to choose their clientele. It's a bill that protects the constitutional right to free association, the right to free speech, and private property rights, he said. Now, I actually find this very interesting, and the reason I brought this up is because it kind of goes down what we were talking with Chick-fil-A, except for this is actually at a little bit larger level. This is the idea that any business, as long as that they're working under the premise of free market economy, has the right to refuse service to anyone based off of any reason. Could be the fact that they cut their hair a certain way, their sexual orientation, could be their race, it could be literally anything. There are people like this that are trying to put bills constantly up for vote in states and at the national level on a week-to-week and month-to-month basis, and it doesn't make sense to me. But then this is where it gets weird for me, and this is why I want to talk to you guys. This comes back to a discussion we had quite a few shows ago. I'd have to look back and figure out which show it specifically is. But I discussed in that show the idea of black colleges and the fact that in black colleges, the majority of the people that go to them, and some of them actually have a rule that says you have to be of African-American descent or whatever descent to go to this college. Now, that rule is more of an unwritten rule that they just kind of talk about in hushed tones around campus and between the faculty and all that. It's not something that's literally on the books. But if a white person who applicates to go to Grambling, or I'm just using Grambling as an example here. I'm not trying to say that Grambling falls under this, but Grambling, a well-known black university that tends to cater only to the black persuasion in the United States of America, if they get a white applicant, they could easily just deny the white applicant. Even though the applicant might be equally as qualified as anybody else, I don't think that we as a society look at that denying of that application as a negative. I don't even think that the person who applied to that school, because they probably applied to multiple schools, looks at that denial of that application on the same level as this type of a bill, like this whole denial of service thing. But my question is should we look at that specifically when it comes to like companies or institutions like college education and stuff like that. Should we look at that and say, yeah, that kind of falls into the same whole racial premise of you are a company, a free market, a place that, you know, can kind of dictate the clientele and the students and who comes to your school. At the same point, you don't fall into the ramifications of what we're looking for, so therefore we're going to deny you that service. Should we look at them in a negative way?
Well, absolutely, because, you know, when the NAACP was originally created, it was created because of the fact that whites were discriminating against the African Americans in that same kind of sense. So why shouldn't we look at it in that sense where now white, you know, whites are being discriminated against in this aspect, or, you know, the aspect of, you know, you have a bakery and they don't allow gays to come in there, or you have a bakery and they don't allow Jewish people to come
in
there.
Now, see, I'm all for the free market, and I'm all for a business to run however it sees fit. And I know that this is going to sound a little controversial, and far be it from me here on the queue with the edgy content we talk about to be a little bit controversial at times. I don't have technically a problem with a bakery saying, we don't want to cater to black people. We don't want to cater to homosexuals. We don't want to cater to people who are Jewish. Like, I don't have a problem with the company doing that, because even though I think it's kind of deplorable and despicable to even go down that road, I know for a fact kind of what he said is true. Like, if you say that you're not going to support Jewish people when they come into this bakery and you're not going to sell them baked goods, that's going to get around. People are going to talk, and then they're literally going to just stop coming to your bakery. And so be it. You're going to shut down. Now, should it be a law in the books? I don't know if it should be a law in the books necessarily, but at the same point, like, I don't have a problem with that thought process.
But isn't this technically somewhat illegal, though? If I'm not mistaken, there's a piece of paper, you know, about 200 years old that says that all men are created equal.
Well, right. Yeah, a lot of things sound really cool when you say them. Okay. All men are created equal. Let's just go with that, okay? The men that wrote the Constitution.
Absolutely.
All men are created equal. Do you view those men in the exact same stance as you do God? Because God is the only one who can literally dictate to everyone whether all men are created equal in most people's opinions, right? God is the be-all, end-all judge of all of us. He is the creator of us. He is the one who can take it from us. Like, God is the be-all, end-all. And the idea is that you will put no idol above God. He will always be the be-all. And there is to be nobody else that is supposed to speak on behalf of God. There was only one person that he sent to speak on behalf of him. It was his only begotten son, Jesus. That's it. Like, that's the only person who could, like, formulate those words in human form, and nobody else, because that's the whole idea of Muhammad and the other prophets and whether there's virtue and valor to them or not. Like, that's the whole idea there. And I'm not trying to get into a big religious discussion.
No, but it's the words. All men are created equal. Not all gods are created equal.
Well, no. But it's God who will dictate whether men are created equal. If I just don't believe that Thomas Jefferson...
We are all created in God's image, so we are created equally.
We all are created in his image, which means we all have two eyes, two hands, two this, two that, supposedly. But not all men do come with two hands or two eyes or two this or two that. That's not true. So that's where we start to get, again, back into the gray areas of, is it a story? Is this just some stuff off to the side that is to be taken seriously? Or is it just conveniently changed as time goes on?
I think it comes down to this. As far as the legal or illegal, I'm with you, Mark. I think you should have that freedom, because I believe what that guy said. I think that if the society sits around and lets this person stay in business, that is that judgmental. It should be more of a moral thing as opposed to a legal thing, because we do have freedom of speech. And even if all men are created equal, that is a line that suggests that men should have equal rights to stuff that they need. So if Grambling, for example, like we were using, had a major that was not offered at any other college.
And by the way, we don't believe that Grambling University.
We're not saying that.
We're not saying that. We're just using them solely as an example.
If let's just say, for example, that school was the only ones that offered, or one of limited schools that offered a major that this person needed, then the law would need to step in so this person could get what they needed in order to offer a service to the community. But however, if there's multiple ones, no, I think they should be able to turn it down. You know, I mean, I'm not really
And that's the point. Everybody
that.
Tries to argue on behalf of the idea of the laws that we have that state that you can't discriminate. But the reason that those laws exist is that because back in the day when a lot of those laws were created, those were small sections of society that only had 300 people in this town, 400 people in that town. And there was literally only one bakery.
Yeah.
There was literally only one diner or whatever. So there was no options.
I think, I mean, as long as there's not a violence or you're not verbally assaulted or anything, if they just say, hey, we're not going. I mean, is it horrible? Yeah, it is. It's awful. And I couldn't imagine someone thinking in this day of age that's appropriate. But I think as long as your business, like in this state, if they have a service that's only available, that they're the only ones who have it, then no, I think the law should step in and say, hey, listen, whether you like them or not, they need this and you need to serve it to them. But if they're one of many, no, they should be able to decide, and they should be held accountable and responsible for their decisions, and hopefully it burns their business to the ground because they're awful people. But legally, it's freedom of speech. We're a free country. And I think I agree with the whole PC has become way out of hand in this country. So
I'm
with the fact, because here's the thing, man. We did enough. Jim Crow law existed way past when all this stuff was set back, and we were supposed to not be doing that, and we did. And I'm one of those guys that says, you know what, man, if you don't want to let white people in your college, that's fine. I mean, we did enough awful things to you. Go right ahead. And if you want to see it from the other side of, oh, man, but if we can't be racist, they can't. You know what? Maybe if we just let them be racist for a while to make them feel better. I don't really care.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to move on here. Bobby, you wanted to bring something up. You wanted to talk to us about.
Yeah, so I got a story that was passed along to me that was pretty intriguing. A 9-year-old boy from North Carolina has been bullied by being punched, pushed, and called names for bringing a My Little Pony lunch sack to school. The school has responded by telling the little boy to leave the lunch bag at home, calling it a trigger for bullying. Grayson, who is the little boy's name, says that My Little Pony is actually his favorite cartoon, but in a statement, the school said that Grayson's bag created a disruption in the classroom and is a trigger for bullying. His mom, Noreen, responded by saying, it's like saying that a short skirt is a trigger for rape.
All right, well, now stop right there. I've got a problem with this. This is a catch-22. This is a catch-22 situation, because here's the thing. Let's say Grayson gets bullied because of his My Little Pony backpack, and it happens enough time to where it gets to a dangerous level. All of a sudden, word gets out to the community, the newspapers and everybody else, and they'll come back on the school and go, you didn't do enough. You didn't do enough to try to protect this kid, and now he's in the hospital with, like, an ocular break in his, you know, somebody blew out his ocular socket or something like that, hit him with a baseball bat, whatever it is, not wishing that on him. I'm just saying, you get to that point, and then the community, like, tears into you. But if the school steps in like they did and says, hey, listen, you know, it's obvious that because of what this represents and what people are thinking, regardless of how we perceive it, young people don't perceive it the same way. This is creating a disruption in class. This is creating bullying. We need you to stop this. All of a sudden it's, well, he doesn't have the right to just wear whatever he wants to school. He doesn't have the right. You're just trying to take his rights away. It's catch-22. You just can't win.
Also, I think if you were to step in and do that, you're reinforcing that it's okay for these kids to pick on someone that's different. You're not teaching them that this is wrong. I think it's ignoring what's going on. These kids need to start getting out of the Stone Age and start realizing there's people out there that like different things, and it's not their place to correct them.
Fair enough. Fair enough. What about you, Bobby?
Well, I completely agree with Dan. I think it would be terrible. You know, my daughters go to school, and they are, you know, fans of
Sophia the First.
Well, no. I'm trying to think of a boy thing. Like, my daughter goes to school, and she's a fan of the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
My daughter likes the two kids, Fairly Odd Parents.
Yeah. Okay, so she goes to school with the Fairly Odd Parents book bag, and she gets picked on and poked on. Now, yes, it is wrong, but it also is, in a sense, and, you know, it's really hard from a parental standpoint, but it's also teaching them, in a way, a life lesson. You know, other people are not going to like everything that you do. You have to learn to deal with other people's opinions of you and still be successful.
I don't know anything about any of that, because everyone agrees with my opinions 100% of the time, and I have yet to be successful whatsoever. Neither is Dan Walsh.
I think you need to read that email that someone sent you a few weeks back, because I beg to differ. I've never heard such heated words. I almost started a Facebook page for anti-bullying after I read that email against you, and you're a grown man.
My point is, ladies and gentlemen, I think it's ridiculous that this situation is there. Like, I understand the school stance in this. I understand the parents and the public stance in this situation. This is a no-win argument. There's nothing, like, in this case, I don't know how I would fix it. I would probably just be like, okay, just don't send him with a My Little Pony backpack to school anymore. And just, like, leave it at that. I'm not saying that I side with that, but, like, there has to be an end game at some point. And it's either just going to be a heated debate constantly, blah, 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 or else you're going to let him go to school with the backpack. Not every kid is going to be controlled, and they're going to pick on him anyway. So it's just going to happen.
I think you should just go in there and be like, do you guys like Walt Disney? Because he slept with men.
Oh, my goodness. Ladies and gentlemen, on that note right there, we're going to take a quick break here on The Cue. When we come back, we are going to do some game on, game off with the Polar Vortex, Dan Walsh, as well as producer Bobby and myself. We'll be back on The Cue right after this.
Log on for more at thecuenow.com. Today I first
met you. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to The Cue. Of course, Mark Bland joined today by the walking reality man himself, the Danimal, Dan Walsh, as well as producer Bobby. Hey, yo, how you guys doing over there? You guys doing okay?
Very well, very well. I'm leaning forward. I'm going to try and balance without falling. If you hear a crash, it's me falling.
It's just you falling all over the place?
You got to do what you got to do to keep it falling new in the... lap. Falling into... You know what's really bad is how we're positioned right now.
I really want you to just talk up. I just want you to talk up and let everybody know you're there.
I'm here. I'm balancing, and I'm here. You can't see this when you're listening to this, but this is pretty impressive.
This is quite impressive, I have to admit.
This is very. Just tell them what they want to hear.
Which, by the way, if you guys get a chance, don't forget we are giving away a pair of tickets to see Justin Moore, Randy Houser, Josh Thompson at the Chaffetz Arena March 27th at 7 p.m. Go to thecuenow.com, click the contest page, and then you can sign up and try to win a pair of tickets. Always trying to make your date night free on the house.
They sing country music. I did not know this, but they sing country music. They are very well at it, so you should definitely take the lady out or the guy out. And
do stuff.
Or both.
Or both. You know what I mean? It's if you live in Winghaven and you're a swinger, go ahead and just bring everybody out, man. I know the after party is going to be good, right? Wink, wink, wink.
All right, fair enough. Ladies and gentlemen, let's move on here. Andrew Hamblin picks up a poisonous snake during a church service with Jimmy Coots. That's just the kind of the precursor to where we're going to go with this story, ladies and gentlemen, because this is going to get entertaining. I can see it already. It's been 1 month since 22-year-old serpent handler Andrew Hamblin watched his mentor Jimmy Coots die in his arms. Jamie, a third-generation snake-handling pastor and the star of the short-lived National Geographic reality show Snake Salvation, had been bitten by a 4-foot rattlesnake during a service at his church, the Full Gospel Tabernacle in Jesus' Name, in Middlesbrough, Kentucky. He had been bitten by his snakes 8 times before and survived, but the 9th bite, which had severed an artery in his right hand, killed him quickly. I didn't think it was going to hurt him because I had seen him bit there before, said Andrew, describing the night that Jamie died. Andrew and Cody, Jamie's sons, followed the preacher into the church bathroom where he told them that his face felt like it was burning. As I was moving behind him, he said, and he didn't have any fear in his voice, he didn't sound like he was in pain, he said, "Lord, come by," said Andrew. And then he said, "Oh God, no. I thought that odd, and when I unbuttoned his right shirt sleeve, he looked at me, he looked me right in the face, and he said, "Sweet Jesus," just as calm and just as peaceful as you would imagine it could possibly be. Then he looked past me, his eyes glazed over, and they shut. Jamie never spoke a word again. He never opened his eyes again. He started to slump, and I said, "Dad," and I knelt behind him, and when I did, I felt something wet, and his bowels had released, and he was dead. He took his last breath in my arms. Jamie's death was
That's not all he took in your arms, buddy.
Well, fair enough, but let's be serious here. Jamie's death was a shock to the small insular world of snake-handling preachers, an obscure but growing sect of American Pentecostalism that practices the century-old tradition of worshiping with venomous snakes during church services. According to the ABC News, an estimated 125 churches practice serpent handling in the United States, most of which are concentrated in rural Appalachia, although some are as far away as Canada. Known as signs following Pentecostal, these churches believe in a literal interpretation of a pair of verses from the end of the Bible's books of Mark, in which Jesus tells his apostles, "And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover." And it's not just snakes. Signs followers speak in tongues, handle fire, and drink a poisonous mixture of strychnine and water during church services. They use these acts as obedience to God, said Ralph Hood, a professor of psychology at the University of Tennessee in Chattanooga, who has written extensively about the practice of serpent handling. The motivation is belief in eternal life, not simply here and now, hence to be obedient to God, even in such a risky behavior as handling assured eternal salvation. Successful snake handling, or victory, Ralph added, is an emotional and sometimes ecstatic experience of perfected obedience and assurance of the protection of the Holy Spirit. Even bites and death are proof of obedience and a holy life. So, ladies and gentlemen, what I wanted to talk about is, where are we at in 2014 as a society where they are still practicing, let's grab dangerous snakes and let's just let them bite us? Like, where are we at, Dan? How does this, Bobby, where does this fall? Like, I don't understand. Like, Dan, okay, first off, Dan, would you ever just willingly pick up a poisonous snake?
No.
Let's be honest. You're a Christian man, right?
No.
You're not a Christian man?
No.
By any means whatsoever?
I mean, I was raised
Catholic. Are you
religious?
Are you a religious man?
No.
You're not a religious man by any means?
No.
Bobby, what about you? Are you a religious man?
Yes.
You can talk into
Bobby
the microphone,
Bobby is a religious
man.
I was
actually just at church this past week.
Okay, so now the question is, Bobby, being a religious man, knowing that this Bible verse exists, and that's what their basis is, would you pick up a serpent if, let's say, your pastor at your church decided to go, Bobby Hickman, I want you to come up here right now. I got 2 4-foot pythons and a venomous rattlesnake here, and I'd like you to pick these up in your hands and hold them high above the congregation. And if you are to be bitten, well, you're showing obedience to God.
Well, I don't think I would do the whole rattlesnake thing, but I've picked up pythons before. I've put a boa constrictor around my neck.
But I'm talking more about the poisonous snakes. I added those other two,
yeah,
like just
but,
for like
but
show.
No, I mean, it says in there that they would deal with serpents. I've dealt with serpents, but I mean, you have to be logical, bro. Come on. Like, you have to know there's a reason why this is the damn most poisonous snake in America.
Should we be shutting these guys down? Like,
yes.
Is this something that we should be shutting down potentially? I mean, I know the Constitution says they will not enforce anything that has to do with religious beliefs whatsoever. There will be no stepping of bounds.
I think it's here. We're overpopulated, right? I say go on with it. Let's have more of these church services. In fact, I'm sorry. If you're getting bitten and dying, obviously your belief is not strong enough. So, I mean, that's all on you.
Dan, let's go down an interesting road here on the queue. Just because I know that you happen to be a single man.
Yeah.
Let's say you started dating a girl. And this girl, beautiful girl, 10. Solid 10 in your book. Like the kind of girl you want to marry, you want to be with, have children, all that great stuff. But she is a diehard snake venom Pentecostal. She goes to that type of a church. She handles those snakes. Even though that's not your cup of tea, you guys are in love. Where would you stand on something like that? Like, how would you handle a situation like that?
Mark, you might as well just ask me what I would do if I was going to marry a dinosaur. Because no girl who is a snake-handling Pentecostal would have anything to do with me. That's a complete, like,
you really don't think so? Like, you don't think so?
No, because they don't put out.
Well, okay. Regardless, let's say you found one. Like, how would you handle a situation like that? Would you be like, hey, you know what? That's your religion. That's your beliefs. I understand that. But then every time she goes to church, she's going to be handling these poisonous snakes. Wouldn't that be like something in the back of your mind that would be like, she might not come home today? Like, that's it. We're done.
I'd be like, listen, if you're going to go pick up poisonous snakes, you deserve what's coming to you. I'm sorry. No, I don't. I don't. Here's the thing. If you have the right to practice your religion, and if you are too hysterics to the fact that you are picking up a poisonous snake, then you deserve everything that is coming to you from that. All that being death, pooping yourself. I have zero sympathy for you. And I think acts like this are a great way of population control. And I think they should continue. In fact, I think we should have them on a mass scale. I think we should actually breed more poisonous snakes and put them into these churches so that people like this do this. Because I think it's the stupidest thing that I've ever heard.
What made me angry is the fact that I love Clash of the Ozarks and Crowbar Russell. And then in that story, it says the short-lived reality show Snake Salvation. Or venomous.
There's
or like
a reason. I could have told you that was going to be short-lived.
Like seriously, like I'm kind of angry that we don't have this show anymore.
Well, it's going to be replaced by Alligator Cuddler, which is also expected to be a short-lived reality show. But they also have,
grizzly bear comber. That one's coming next. And then shark swimmer. That one. So, I mean, they have a few they'll back it up with. No, I don't feel sorry for you. You picked up a poisonous snake. I learned that as a child. Like, don't pick up poisonous snakes because it will bite and kill you. I think even God is sitting up there going, seriously? This is what you're doing? I can't even help you now. That's it. I'm finished with you.
I don't even want to talk to you. I'm taking you away from this planet
so you don't give these people these stupid ideas.
I think that this should be applied to a lot of things. I think that maybe we should do this in voting booths, actually. You know what I'm saying? Like, just a couple poisonous snakes there. If you really want to pick whoever you want to pick, you got to put your hand into the box and you got to check mark it, okay? If it bites you and kills you, then your vote don't count. You're done. Like, you're off the earth.
And you know what? It would solve the minimum wage problem because, you know what I'm saying? Not a lot of people, not a lot of resources being used.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
I'm just seeing this thing is not only great for the religious community, it's outstanding for the economy, and it's wonderful for population control in general.
I am amazed that Vladimir Putin doesn't actually handle snakes because he already has Bengal tigers and everything else.
He does. He does it in the morning. He's like, every morning I get up and handle the rattlesnake before I eat the cornflakes. Sometimes I let them bite my nipple because it is so rough that it chips their teeth and they are not able to secrete the sweet venom that makes them so deadly but so beautiful.
What the fuck? Oh my goodness. On that note, ladies and gentlemen, I think we're going to move on, game off for this week. A fun little game we like to play every single week. First time listening, or if you are just forgotten why we do it, it's pretty simple. The idea of game on, game off is simply we find things that are new, cool, that you need to know about, and we tell you about them ahead of the curb so that you're up to date on that stuff. But then there's things in this world that are just commonplace that are constantly going on. They might be new trends, new websites, new whatever. Everyone's talking about new apps and games like Flappy Bird on your phone that we just feel like you need to get off of that situation. You need to game off. And so, ladies and gentlemen, without any further ado, we are going to start this week's Game On, Game Off with Dan Walsh. Dan Walsh, I would love for you to tell me, what is your game on for this week on the queue?
Game on, ladies, in 6-inch stiletto heels.
Man, you have been... Okay, first off, the last game off we had, or game on that we had with Dan, was the tube dresses. He likes the short tube dresses because he just loves the way the ladies' legs look and their butts look and all that, and that's great.
It makes now, my day better.
Now, he's got the same tube dress on this girl, but now he's moving further down.
Can you imagine, though, how great her ass and legs look in this imaginary woman? Are you getting happy thinking about that? Is anyone in here upset about that vision?
I think this vision at all.
A gay guy would be like, that's a wonderful vision.
So 6-inch stiletto heels. You're big on this now.
Yeah, just as high as you can have them, ladies. I just like the way they make your legs look. You put me in a good mood. I like watching you walk around in them. Unless you don't know what you're doing, then I'm scared you're going to fall. But even then, that's entertaining because I'm like, is she going to make it? Is she going to make it?
All right, game on. 6-inch stiletto heels. Now, what is your game off for this week?
Girls who wear flats. What the hell are you thinking? Nobody likes flats.
That's a Bobby move right there. Nobody... You just went for the opposite. Game on, respect. Game off, disrespect.
Here's my game off. Handling poisonous snakes at your church services.
No, fair enough. You can go with flats.
I'm going with flats. Nobody likes them. Only girls. See, every once in a while, girls have these things in fashion. They're like, oh my God, yours is so cute. And only they find them attractive.
But wait a second. What if it's a really smoking hot 9 or 10 on your scale? Like a real sweat, but she's got flats on. Like, that's not taken away from her,
kills
is it?
It. I'd rather look at a 6 in heels.
But I mean, but seriously, heels? That's tough walk, man. That's tough walk.
That shows the discipline. That shows her drive to want to be sexy, and that's the kind of girl I want to be around.
Fair enough.
Flats. What are you going to get into an impromptu marathon? What the hell are you trying to be comfortable for? Nobody wants you to be comfortable. They want you to be sexy. Know your role.
All right, Bobby, you are next up here on Game On, Game Off this week on the queue. What is your game on, sir?
All right. Game On is something that a video that someone has had sent to me that after going to YouTube, I found out this girl has a
guy
whole
on a buffalo?
Channel. Not guy on a buffalo this time. It's a guy on a buffalo. No, it's a channel on YouTube called Dance Fitness with Jessica.
Okay, Dance Fitness with Jessica. Is she in a tube dress or 6-inch stilettos?
She is.
Dan is not going to be happy if she's not.
Crap. She is as close as she can be. But no, it's actually really cool. She takes a lot of the. She's a Zumba dancer or teacher, instructor, whatever you want to call it, out in L.A. And she's created her own page. She has like 1.5 million followers now. And she just post videos of how she would instruct a class.
Are you now? Are you kind of following along and doing exercises with her yourself?
I haven't yet.
Are
but
you
I
thinking
will
about
be.
It? Oh, you will be. You are on the plan.
I will be. I have decided I'm going to start some
as soon as you get done with your marathon sessions by yourself with some Vaseline in your bedroom, you're going to get on this?
I'm looking at old Jessica right here, and I don't think he's going to be doing it. Well,
he's going to be working out his she's in a Superman shirt. She definitely is. There she is. There's Jessica, and she's just going to start doing some dancing. That's okay. It's okay. No. Turn that off.
So she does it with like all these mainstream songs, and it's not bad to watch.
So Game On, what is it again?
It's called Dance Fitness with Jessica.
Dance Fitness with Jessica. Game On, Dance Fitness with Jessica. What is your game off, sir?
All right, man.
All right. Is this going to get deep?
It's only been out.
That was kind of a weak Game On. Okay.
What?
I'm serious.
I'm trying to help people. Okay?
Fair enough.
Game off.
I respect
with
that.
With their fitness. Game off. It's only been out for a damn week, and I'm already tired of it. The movie Frozen.
Really? You're already done with it?
Look. All right. I didn't see it at the theater.
Okay.
I saw it at home.
Okay.
We bought it the day it came out.
Uh-huh.
I've seen it since it came out.
It won Best Song at the Academy Awards.
Yeah, I don't give a damn. I've seen it 672 times already. All right. I'm tired of the movie. Elsa and Anna and Olaf.
Wait, what's wrong with Olaf, man? Listen.
Olaf is the best part of the movie, and he's only there for 10 minutes.
Here's the funny thing. Me and Bobby both have young children. So, like, I've been watching Frozen. I will not tell how. But I've been watching Frozen for, like, 2 months now solid at my house, okay?
Correct.
It's been ridiculous how much I watch. Right now, I'm actually on the new kick of the Lego movie because we went and saw it in theaters.
Uh-huh.
So now the Lego movie is now in constant rotation at my house, even though it's not. Never mind. My point is Frozen isn't a bad movie, though. It's actually relatively good.
Yeah, it's cool, but you have a
son. So maybe your game off should be being a dad who allows repetition in his house.
No, you have. Well, you know how my daughter goes to sleep. She has to listen to the damn song.
Which, by the way, let us talk about this.
Never, ever, ever.
Let's talk about this for a quick second before I get on to my game on, game off. You have a daughter who I love to death. She's a sweet little girl. We call her Cece. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, Cece has to go to sleep to Taylor Swift's Never, Ever...
Getting Back Together
a song every single night, all night long, right. For like literally like 4 hours on constant rotation, like literally repeat the CD, that song,
it's
for
on
4 hours straight.
It's on heavy rotation.
And it's
on
not
Sierra
just
FM.
Silently playing in the room, like next to her bed. No. This thing is blaring in her room through the walls while we're watching wrestling or whatever.
Mark and I the other day were sitting out on my porch.
2 o'clock.
Out back. 2 a.m.
2 a.m.
And we can just hear Taylor going...
Getting back together. It's ridiculous. Okay,
yeah.
So now Frozen is the new video that you have a problem with.
Yeah, Frozen is what I have a
Why
problem
game
with.
Off on Frozen? Why? Just give me a
just,
good general.
I mean, it's a cool story, but after watching it and watching it, the story becomes very annoying and very repetitive. So it's just...
Game off 4-year-olds who want to watch movies over and
just like
over.
The Jungle Book. I'm not a big fan of the Jungle Book right now.
All right, fair enough. It's time for me to do my game on, game off. Game on Clutch Magazine, clutchmagonline.com. This is a cool site. Remember when Maxim Magazine first came out?
Yeah.
And you were just like, oh my goodness, this is a really cool magazine. It's got some great stories in it. It's got some good looking girls.
Yeah, that's exactly why I liked it. I was like, oh, look at all these great articles.
No, but it was the truth is once you got past the hot chicks, which we all love the hot chicks. My point was...
I don't think I read one word in like the first three.
I enjoyed Maxim Magazine as an overall. I liked the cool tech stuff. I liked the girls. I liked it all. I thought Maxim Magazine. Clutch is kind of a mix between Maxim and Vice. Like when I brought Vice up as a game on quite a few months ago on a different show, it's kind of a mixture of those two. Really cool, interesting articles. Awesome art, awesome just everything. Like, go to clutchmagonline.com. Check it out for yourself. I'm telling you, you're going to be happy with your decision. This is going to be one of your go-to sites from here on out. Just for cool, unique stories, interesting things that they talk about. It's a really great website. Like, clutchmagonline.com. That's my game on this week. My game off. Sit back, Dan. This is going to be a tough one. All right?
Okay.
Game off Military personnel asking famous people to balls and dances. I'm done with you. Okay? It was cool 3 years ago when you were trying to get, like, Jessica Alba or whoever it was, and they picked it up on a viral thing because you put it on YouTube, and they were like, check out what this guy did from the Navy. He's asking her to go to the blah, 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 and she said yes. And then five other people did it to five other famous people. And then the next year it was like, someone's going to ask Betty White to the, like, okay, it was cool. Now, every single year, 5 to 10, 15, 20 people have to do it. All of the videos got to get talked about. All of them have to be on the media. Everything. Stop it, military personnel. I respect you. I love you. You're good people. But it's worn its welcome out. That's why it's a game off. It's a game off because it's worn its welcome out. It's not kitschy, new, and cool anymore. We understand what you're trying to do. You think by asking, you know, Leonardo DiCaprio to take you to the ball that, you know, that's going to catch you some eyes on YouTube. It's going to get you popular within your group of friends in the military, whatever. Like, we get it.
You really have the wrong mindset of it. It's not about fame for these guys. It's a chance for them to use the one thing that they have to possibly, in their imagination, sleep with a really hot celebrity.
That's very true.
That's what it comes down to. They're like, if I get her here, I might be able to sleep with her. You make us sound too complex.
No.
That's really what we're going for.
That's why the point of my game off is very simply, just stop doing it. Let's stop, guys. I'm not saying that you can't. I'm just saying, like, it's done. Like, I know what your theory is in your head. I think that, like, you're like, so-and-so did it last year, and so-and-so did it the year before that. This year, I'm going to try it. Got it. We got it.
What if they just didn't, like, show videos of it, but these guys were still allowed to do it?
They could totally do it. I don't have a problem with them physically doing it. I have a problem with them making a big hubbub about it and then, like, putting it out there. So maybe it's game off, a mixture of stop asking them and then stop thinking that you're going to turn it into some multimedia, like, huge viral thing. Like, stop all of that.
So if I said Demi Lovato.
Yes.
I served in the military years and years ago.
She'll be here in 2 days.
Would you please go to, we can go to an AA meeting together because I know you're jacked up like I am. And, you know, maybe we'll just see what happens.
Are you a big fan of Demi Lovato?
I think she's gorgeous.
Do you like her songs?
I'm not really a huge fan of her songs. But, like, here's the thing. Of all those girls that, like, they get screwed up and they either go on, like, this huge downward spiral. She, like, screwed up, admitted it, but she didn't really screw up. She owned what happened to her and became a more in-depth person. And I think that's cool because a lot of these Disney kids don't do that. They either keep going screw. Now, I'll tell you who I am going to beat the crap out of. I'm going to beat the crap out of Justin Bieber.
Why?
You know
why?
No, because I was reading in a tabloid, so it has to be true.
Okay.
I was reading about how Selena Gomez now is going to have to go to rehab. And I don't know if you know this. I have very strong feelings about Selena Gomez. I feel she's like a Mexican Kennedy. She has a lot of class.
Okay.
And he's like, he's dirted her up with his silly Canadian propaganda.
But has he dirted her up? He doesn't talk about her. He tries to keep her name out of discussions.
They have pictures because she got
all of they were in a relationship for a long time. Like, you can't knock him for just having a girlfriend.
He apparently sexually transmitted Bieber fever, and it just totally just made her into one of these other girls. And, like, I'm sorry, Selena Gomez was such a classy girl, and I still think she's classy, but it really ruined it. But Demi Lovato, she's in depth. She had some, you know, issues. She owned them. She tries to be a more well-rounded person, and I think she has this hotness to her. She's over 18, right?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, yeah, she had this hotness to her, so it's all good, man.
All right, fair enough. Well, that's
you know what, Demi, can you please come to the I don't even go to balls anymore.
All right.
And I could go somewhere else with that, but we're not on overtime
yet. Just come to the queue and sit on Dan's lap. That's all he wants.
Yes, and I'll be polite.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for Game On, Game Off this week. It's about time for us to get out of here. Don't forget, we do an overtime. Dr. Dan is in the building. We have some we got some doozies this week for you, Dan. This is going to be very entertaining, so make sure you check out Overtime, which happens on the download only after the theme song ends at the end of the show. Also, I want to thank Dan and Bobby for both being here. As always, thank you so much, Dan Walsh.
It's my pleasure, Mark.
All right, fair enough. Bobby, thank you so much, sir.
You're welcome.
Don't forget, razorsharpdigital.com. That's a website where you can go to and check out great multimedia and digital platforms, as well as social media marketing. Check out razorsharpdigital.com. That's a website for you to get all that done at. That's going to do it for us here on The Q. I want to thank every single listener out there. Make sure you check out theqnow.com. Old episodes, new episodes, as well as the overtimes and all that fun stuff. Plus, on the Breaking Point blog, Bobby's Dance dance-off against Dan over here, where they did the truffle shuffle, basically. And Dan did it well. He did it very well.
I heard they're going to put it on Ghost Adventures, because it's that creepy.
It is pretty creepy. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for us here on The Cue. We will see you guys next time on the show.
Beat that super bump in there for you to back it up and dump it. Get it. Put your arms out front, lean side to side. They going to be on you.
Nothing says I love you, I'm thinking about you, or I miss you like a beautiful bouquet of fresh flowers from ProFlowers.com. Flowers are a festive way to dress up a birthday, holiday, or anniversary. Plus, prices start at $19.99 and include a free vase. Every bouquet is guaranteed to last at least 7 days. To send a thoughtful bouquet, go to ProFlowers.com/radio. And to receive this special offer, enter code COLOR. That's ProFlowers.com/radio, code COLOR.
Whoa, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Overtime. Mark Bland, producer Bobby, as well as the Polar Vortex, Dan Walsh, hanging out here, and welcome to Chick-fil-A.
Yes, I was just calling to see if you guys always stuffed your meat in some buns.
Well, sir, we definitely put meat into our buns. Obviously, we have delicious chicken sandwiches. We have chicken gyros. We have all kinds of just different varieties of chicken that you can order here. You can see our menu board right here behind you, sir.
I'm just really into putting my meat inside some buns. So if you can make that happen, that would just be delicious.
I'm really talented at putting meat into buns myself.
Who are you?
I can make the
ahoy.
Hi-o, sailor. I can easily put some meat into some buns. Would you like a chicken sandwich? We even have chicken fingers, too, if you'd like those. If you'd like some chicken fingers.
Have you ever put your chicken fingers inside some buns? Sometimes I've had fingers inside my buns.
What kind of buns? Do you own a business? Like, is it like a hamburger joint?
You can call it hamburger, just meat of all kinds. More like some tube steak, right, Taylor?
I'm a big fan. I'm from Southern California. I just took this job here at Chick-fil-A, and I used to work at In-N-Out Burger.
So, yeah, I bet you did. So you know all about the come here motion, right?
We never had that at In-N-Out.
What kind of sauces do you have dripping down your meat that is inside your buns?
Oh, well, we got barbecue sauce, and we got buffalo sauce, as well as honey mustard, and we could get ranch and blue cheese if you'd like. We have a lot of different options out there.
Ranch.
Are you you ranch fan?
I like the color and the texture.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Can I ask you a serious question? There was some controversy here a couple of years ago about you had the Jim Henson toys, and you recalled them because they were getting stuck.
Oh, yeah, we were out of Miss Piggy's, and people got very angry about that.
Did anything
that,
get stuck in their throats?
No.
I get pretty cranky when something gets stuck in my throat, you know?
I don't. What are you? Are you trying to say something, sir? Like, I'm confused. Would you like to order some chicken fingers, sir?
Listen,
I'm confused.
How many chicken sandwiches do I have to eat in order to blow you? Okay? Oh. We're just going to be forward.
Oh, wow. Well, there it is. Thanks. Two. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome.
Why we thought that was acceptable to start off with.
Maybe in hindsight, we just won't do that.
Do you know how many rules we broke if this was to go on, like, legit? First off, the amount of offensive phone calls that we would receive just from the local Chick-fil-A staff.
Well, fair enough. We were just having some fun with Chick-fil-A.
I'm sorry if you do.
I never caught your name. What was your name again?
Steve.
Ralph.
Ralph.
It's Ralph.
Slippery Steve.
Slippery Steve.
That's what they called me at the Man on Man bar that I used to bartend at.
Oh, that was right next to our In-N-Out Burger.
Was it?
Yeah. It was right next to the In-N-Out Burger. I would always have to go in the back entrance, though.
I bet you would.
I always had to go in the back entrance.
You want to hear a funny story? Me and my buddy Shane were hanging out when I was in L.A., and they had a CVS pharmacy. And Shane's gay. And I was just a new Midwest kid going out to California. This is my first time hanging out with the homosexual community. And they were really, really cool guys and really accepted me open arms and no pun intended. And they really helped me out and with the ladies and everything, which if you ever want help with the ladies, man, a gay friend is like the way to go. Because this guy
can be very helpful.
Oh, my God. They can tell you everything. And it's for sure things. But he was really like anxiety ridden because we were going to a friend's birthday party and he wanted to get a card. And so we pull up to this pharmacy, and he goes to the front door, and then he, stops and goes to walk back, and he goes, it says we have to use the back door. And I was like, well, you're no stranger to that, are you, Shane? And I thought he would laugh. And he just dead stared at me like I just said the worst thing ever. And I was like,
well,
all
you
right,
did kind
well,
of talk about his sexuality. Well, in a very direct way.
All right, this is the same guy that used to, on his birthday, at Fiesta, what is it? Fiesta Cantina, which is like the gayest place on earth. And like guys are walking around in chaps and stuff. And he was just smashing candles and going, it's my birthday, Cinco de Shano. And that was his excuse for breaking things.
I will be the first to admit that like the best karaoke nights I've ever been to have been at gay bars. Well, not that I like patronize gay bars all that often, but I do have a couple of friends that are gay, and they have taken me out on a Friday, Saturday night to karaoke at one of their favorite bars. Dude, I'm telling you, you got a lot of guys that can sing. Like, at gay bars, it's really weird. They really put their all into it. It's ridiculous.
Well, it's
how
a
deep
sin.
They get.
You can't sing a Cher song and not put 100% in, or they'll kick you out of the gay community.
That's very possible. I never thought about it like that, but you probably are correct.
Well, they're entertaining guys. I mean, think about this life. All right? You're told that what you are is wrong, and you learn to like hate yourself and everything for years. So finally, you come to a grips that you just have to be who you are. And so then it just is this outpour. And really, what more do you have to be scared of? For your life, you were probably beaten up and tortured and everything for being something that you didn't quite understand why it was wrong or even what you were. So what is the big deal about getting up and singing a song in front of strangers? What's the worst thing that's going to happen?
I think that you make a great point there.
So, I mean, that's why those guys are going to put their all. They're showmanship.
Bobby is eager to get on the microphone. What do you got? You said you had a question for us, and you just like keep trying to grab the mic from Dan.
Whoa, don't say that after the conversation we just had. The long cylindrical object. All right, so I have a friend who is married.
Okay.
And
is this an advice thing for Dr. Dan type thing, or is this just a straight-up question?
It's a straight-up question that I would like to get both of your opinions on.
Okay.
I've already given this friend of mine my opinion.
Okay.
And it turned out pretty good for him, but just like to get your opinion. So anyway, this friend of mine, he's married.
Okay.
And on his Facebook page, it specifically says that he's married to this person and all of that. It says he's in a relationship, everything. Well, he has on his page someone, you know, how Facebook tells you that you should recommend things you should like.
Right.
Well, it recommended that he liked a page called Sexy Farm Girls.
Okay. Sexy Farm Girls.
Sexy Farm Girls. Got so it. He liked the page.
Uh-huh.
And they post pictures, daily pictures, like 3, 4, 5 different pictures every day. Well, some of the pictures, I guess he finds the women attractive, so he goes and likes the picture.
Okay.
His wife doesn't say anything to him. You know, they don't, nothing happens between the two of them, but he gets ridiculed by other friends of his by saying, dude, what the fuck, man? You're married. Why are you liking pictures of half-naked sexy farm girls and stuff like that? My advice was, as long as your wife doesn't say anything, then who the fuck really cares?
Right. I guess the question is like, should
is
he
it
care?
Wrong?
Is it wrong?
Should he continue doing it?
I think when you're in a marriage, okay, when you're in a marriage, that's the other half that would like have to weigh in on sexual exploits, no matter what they are. So when your wife, who is the other half, like I said, doesn't have a problem with it, doesn't say anything about it, doesn't have an issue, yeah, I think, why not? You're fine. I think you're in the clear. That's the only other person that has to have a say. So, yes, Dan? Are you cupping the balls? Okay.
Yeah. First off, man, your wife's going to be the one that stabs you. So, I mean, if she's okay with it, well, why is everybody else so up in arms? You know what I mean? Maybe they should be worried about what's going on in their house. I think they're just jealous because their wives would freak out on them if they could like sexy farm girls. And then here's another thing. Where did this intolerance for sexy farm girls come from? I think they're people.
That's a good point. They are
like
people.
Anyone else. And, I mean, they just want you to like their page. They're out for acceptance as well. I think
they
we should
love. Listen, like, there's nothing wrong with a girl who likes to, like, you know, wear half shirts and hang around on hay all day long.
I know.
Is there something wrong with
that? You know, what is that, the FFA girls? I think it's great that they're doing a website past high school. You know, I think it should be celebrated, and I think that they, like any other female, would like to be appreciated. So I think what he did was a really good thing. I think it was a great testament to mankind that we can show support for our various and different backgrounds. And I think he's a very open human being for this, and I don't understand why he would be ridiculed for such a great and saintful action. And I also commend his wife for being such a mature individual on his support of the agricultural female youth of America.
Fair enough. Fair enough. All right. Well, keeping that mindset, Dr. Dan, because, ladies and gentlemen, it is time for advice columns here on the show. Every once in a while, I get some letters sent to me, and I got some doozies for you, Dan.
I can't wait.
Okay. So I'll give you a choice here, okay? I got three solid ones. I figure we're going to do two of them, okay?
Okay.
But I'm going to give you a choice. We've got one that that has to do with sexual stuff, okay?
Mm-hmm. Do that last.
I think that's one of them. I think we're going to do that one.
Okay. We have a situation that has to do with a boss, and then we have a situation that has to do with some roommates. Which one would you like to take first? Where would you
boss,
like to go first?
Roommate sex.
Can we only do two?
We can do all three if you'd like. We got overtime. Overtime.
Let's do all three.
All right, let's start off with the boss then. Let's just knock it out. We'll do them in order.
Is this about Bruce Springsteen?
No, this is not about Bruce Springsteen. Mark, I am furious about what I'm getting ready to ask you, but it's the point where I feel I need someone to open my eyes of how I should handle this. So I asked my boss for a few days off next week because my grandfather passed away yesterday, and I need to travel to attend the funeral. His response to me was, "She's dead. You're not. If you want time off, then quit." I personally love my job, and I will be first to admit me and my boss don't always see eye to eye, but I think he way overstepped the lines here. I make great money, but I need to be at the funeral, so should I quit the job or stick around and fight him down on this one?
Bobby, back off, okay?
All right, Dr. Dan is here. Dr. Dan.
Okay.
Smooth, Dr. Dan.
Cut the balls, Dan.
First off.
All right.
You have to have a human resources department. And if you go to Human Resources Department, they actually oversee what your boss does.
Yeah, he hasn't said if this is a mom-and-pop shop or not. So.
Well, how well of money can you make at a mom-and-pop shop?
Well, it could be like a local restaurant that's a family-owned type thing. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be someplace that's like Human Resources, I would say. Well, but he never stipulated that either way. But go ahead.
Here's the thing. You walk up, and you just politely put your hand on your boss's shoulder.
Uh-huh.
Just look him in the eye, very professionally.
You got to very, very,
very professionally.
Do not cup the balls.
Don't cup the balls on him because that's just inappropriate.
Very
inappropriate.
You'll
get HR called on you.
You're going to get HR
called. But what you do is you just put your hand on your shoulder, you look at him very professionally, and you say, "Listen here, you heartless fuck.
Whoa.
You take this job and you shove it up your tight ass if you can fit it past that coal." Because here's the thing. Your grandfather was your grandfather. And that man probably had somewhat of a role in your raising. And that is a huge part of your life, and that is a human being that was with you since the beginning, way before this job. And I think there's times that you need to celebrate that man's life because of what he did, not only for you, but for your parents. And I think that, yeah, you may make a lot of money, man, but you are who you are as a person. So it's one of those things where fuck him. You need to go to his funeral.
I agree, Dan.
And you quit this job because you don't want to work for a piece of shit like that.
I agree totally, Dan. I think that this is ridiculous. This is boss is holding this over his head. There's Family Leave Act, which is something that is a part of our national precedences. You can actually probably call him out on the Family Leave Act because they're supposed to give you days for bereavement and all that. So,
well, you're entitled to bereavement days, but the FMLA stuff, you have to be with the company or with the place for a certain number of days. You have to work a certain number of hours, and there has to be a certain number of employees. There's a whole bunch of clauses within that FMLA.
Okay.
But you are in the labor world entitled, no matter what, to, I think it's 5 days worth of bereavement. So whether he says yes or no, you could tell him to go fuck off because you get those days.
Yeah, I would tell him to go F off. That's where I'm at on this situation myself. Okay, here we go. Next one. So the other day, my boyfriend and me were fooling around, and when we finished, he rolled over to me and he said that he thought my vagina looked like an old man in a hat. I laughed at first, and we both weirdly kissed and got dressed. But since that day, it has been on my mind a lot, and he started to call me HV, short for hat vagina. I yelled at him the other day to knock it off, but he calmed me down by saying it was a nice hat, which made me more angry. So I'm angry and think that it's time to kick him to the curb. Am I wrong for thinking this way?
Before Dr. Dan chimes in, get the fuck out of there.
The hat vagina.
You hat vagina bitch.
Yeah, what's up with this HV? Like, seriously, this guy is calling you a hat vagina? This is ridiculous. Like, okay, all right. So, like, The meat pocket looks like an old man in a hat.
Your vagina has to be really fucked up, though, too, to look like a hat.
Regardless.
Dan's going to be serious about this. He's going to take us on a serious note. Take it on serious note, Dan. Go.
Regardless of your beef curtains.
Yes. Yes.
Uh-huh. No, what you should do to really get back to him is do his laundry and shrink all his affliction shirts.
Take away his UFC 161 tickets and stuff. I get it.
Yeah,
get it.
Take all his Muscle Pharma salt and just dump it out of the bottle, and then hide his Axe body spray.
I love
and
the fact that he thinks calling a vagina an old man in a hat is like something that is like really like ridiculously horrible or something.
That is such a douchey thing to say because. I'm not against
that's not even a mean thing. That's just stupid.
I'm not even against them for thinking it, but like, why do you have to tell you that? And here's another thing you need to look forward to or look into. And don't be. There's a lot of really great works of American art and pictures of old people in hats. So maybe in his own sick Guido dumb fuck way, he was telling you that your vagina is a work of art.
Yeah, it's possible. He might have been talking about the vagina being a work of art.
Or this kid just could be completely fucked in the head because I was at a store the other day and they had Netflix playing and I guess the only thing that was working on their Netflix was fucking Pokemon and two people walk in smoking hot chick and this super geeky looking fucking dude and he got the biggest Pokeboner I've ever seen in my whole fucking life and I'm just sitting there going at some point he has to put his penis in her. And the whole time, he's probably just yelling, Pikachu! Pikachu!
Pokeboner. That's great stuff right there.
You should tell him, you should be like, you know what, your penis looks like one of the chopsticks I used one time, if I broke it in half.
All right, we're moving on. Let me give you some background on
hey,
this one.
Hey, chopstick
man.
Dick. That's what I call him.
Chopstick.
CSD? Yeah.
Chopstick Dick.
CSD.
All right, let me give you some background on this one, Dan.
Hey, Tiny Goober. That's what I call him.
This guy says, let me give you some background. Me and two other guys live in an apartment right off our college campus. It's a great situation, but recently I did something that has created a huge problem. This past Saturday night, I was really drunk. It was 2 a.m., and I thought it would be funny to fart in my roommate's mouth while he was asleep. I walked.
Because why would wouldn't you? This, yeah, all right, continue.
I walked over to him, pulled my pants down, and let loose. To my surprise, it was a very wet one, and I accidentally took a dump on his face. He woke up.
Holy shit!
He woke up gagging, and a fist fight where I was on the losing end followed. I had to get stitches at the hospital. Well, the problem is that it's time for the rent to be paid, and I handled that for us. The lease is under my name. Normally, we're all on time, except this time around, Mike hasn't given me his share yet. We haven't even made eye contact since the situation, and he avoids me like the plague. How can I get my monies I need to pay the rent?
You owe him. You just fucking settle up, and don't worry about the money for this month or next month at least. You shit on him. You fucking...
Literally...
You listen, fucking shit.
First off, if you got sleep apnea and some dude just, like, rails one off on your fucking... I want to know, was this, like, a splatter style, or was this, like, just a nice long trombone, like just like a meat mustache.
Did this look like a fucking baby
mustache.
Ruth?
This is ridiculous, man.
I just want to know if he recorded it or not. Because if he did, you could sell the footage to a Japanese porn site and make millions. And then just give him some of the money.
I just love the fact that it's 2 o'clock in the morning and he's just like, what if he's got sleep apnea? So that, you know, like he sucks it into like his windpipe.
Dude, he shit on your face. Dude, I'm sorry, man. I'm a pretty peaceful guy. I think I would have killed you. So I think you got off.
I think you got off.
You got off.
Good.
I mean, like, or maybe he doesn't have money. He's a little short because he had to go to the free clinic and get Hep B shots because your shit was on his face.
Is it his stomach and stuff?
Yeah,
oh my goodness.
And he's got to pay for the psychologist.
I don't think you're going to get your money, like Bobby said. I think that you're done on this one.
And the worst part is you potentially could have given this man pink eye. Because pink eye is contracted through fecal matter, and you shit on him. Like, let's just go back to the whole thing. You shit on him.
You could have given him pink mouth. I mean, I don't know, man. I think, I don't know what you were thinking, honestly. But, yeah, he's probably going to be pissed at you for a while, man. least till he flosses some of your diarrhea out of his teeth.
Yeah, this is a situation that's gotten way out of control. So I think that where we're at is pretty simple. You're just going to have to call this one today, bro.
I will give you something, though, man. That's original.
It's original. That's a ballsy move at 2 o'clock in the morning, drunk or not drunk.
But this guy can hold it over his head for a long time. He'd be like, hey, man, you got my beer this round? Yeah, I would, but there's that time you shit on me. You know what? Never mind, man. I got your drinks for the rest of the night, and you know what? You can have sex with my fiance.
Wow.
That could be what happens. Just don't shit on her mouth, because I have to kiss that later.
All right, well, let's move on here on Overtime to some quick questions. We're going to do a roundabout of questions, and we'll go from there. What's the coolest yet most useless thing you own? What about you, Bobby? Coolest, most useful thing you own?
Useful or useless?
Coolest yet useless thing you own.
Fuck. Everything that I have? I don't know. The most useless thing would probably be my Green Bay Packers phone.
That's the most useless thing, but it's the coolest thing you got?
Yeah, because it doesn't work anymore, so it's definitely useless, but it's fucking cool.
All right, fair enough.
Because it's in a giant football.
What about you, Dan? Coolest, most useless thing you got?
I would have to say I bought a griddle that I put over my stove, but I don't really cook. I don't own shit. Like, I don't, honestly.
I'm never home.
Home, man. I have a cat that's like a person to me. Like, my life is so lame. Are you kidding? My cat. That's the coolest, most useless thing
the
I've ever
had. The Q show. He's got the Q show. This I is the coolest, Q. most lame.
This is the, but I mean, this is useful because I vent and I get shit off my chest and I get to hear about people's lives that are slightly worse than mine. Case in point, people who have poop on their lips. But no, I really don't own that much, man. And what I do own, I use. So coolest, most useless thing.
The hat-shaped vagina.
Oh, I have the WCW World Television title replica belt.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
Yeah, I don't even look at that thing anymore, but I have it.
But you got one.
Yeah, it is
there you go.
Cool.
You can't beat that. Mine is actually a gumball picker-upper. Like, you know how like you get the sweet gumballs that fall off the trees they used to throw at each other and all that? I got one of these things. It's basically, it looks like a gerbil cage almost that's on the end of a stick. You just roll it and it just sucks them into it. Like, you know, just it goes between the twines or the tines and all that. And basically, it's really cool because it's like, wow, this is unique and this is like very useful. It's awesome. Except for the fact that my yard is like a formidable opponent to this thing. Like, there are so many gumballs. This thing is useless. So I never use it. I literally have to use my backpack blower just to blow all the gumballs because there's just so many. It's ridiculous. But it is the coolest thing I got that is useless.
Gumballs is his nickname for his neighbors.
That's a good point. I don't...
He's got to blow all those gumballs.
Oh, fair enough.
My sense of humor. That's the coolest, most useless thing.
Must have been a late night for Dan last night.
It was a very stressful night.
Did you poop on anybody's face at 2 a.m.?
No, man. I wish I had someone around to poop on their face.
All right. What is something you love doing but started hating because of the community? I'm going to start off with this one. I'm going to say it's professional wrestling. I love professional wrestling. I love being involved in professional wrestling. It's a fun thing, except for the fact that in the St. Louis market, and in many markets, not just St. Louis, but in many markets, there's so much politics that goes on behind the scenes that a lot of people don't know about, and that just really detracts sometimes from the fun that I have. So that is probably something I love doing that is just literally something that can become very bad for me because of the community involved. What about you, Bobby?
Mine would be coaching. I really enjoyed when I coached baseball, but some of the other coaches that were part of it, you know, that I coached against, were just huge D-bags, and it really made me hate doing it, so I no longer do it.
What about you, Dan?
I'm going to piggyback off of what you said with the wrestling because, you know, I love wrestling. There's things about it that I really, really do not like. And for years, I was able to just kind of keep to myself because I felt like it was just not a big deal and I wasn't even going to. But now, like, lately, I've been very, very opinionated, and it's because I'm just so pissed off and fed up with it because...
Hey, you've also achieved a certain amount of experience and credibility.
Well, it's like I've always been nice. It's one of those where it's like, hey, if you're just nice and you don't say anything, you know, the people will stop talking to you about it. But they don't. And they continue and they do the same stuff and the same stuff is happening and you're waiting for someone else to just kind of be the cooler head. And now I find myself myself getting on the internet and arguing with like wrestling fans who have no idea what they're talking about, and it's just really stupid and pathetic on my part. But
well, no, listen, they work at the Cupcake Factory, Dan. They work at the Cupcake Factory 40 hours a week, and so that translates to understanding why, you know, Chris Jericho's in a match with Shawn Michaels.
Like, yeah.
They understand that.
Well, I mean, they should tell me what wrestling is. I mean, after all, they haven't seen their dick in 10 years because they're so out of shape, and they can barely even hit the keys on their keyboard to type back a response because their fingers are so fat. But
what the fuck?
I'm just saying. I'm not saying you specifically, Bobby. But, you know, I don't know. And on another one, it's kind of on the same point as the comedy world, man, because the comedy world's kind of the same way, especially in St. Louis. There's a lot of really cool people in the comedy world that I really, really like, but it seems that, like, the people that are in charge of it are just kind of elitists and, like, only want their friends involved and keep a lot of talented people out because they don't kiss their ass, and that makes me upset, too. So, you know, as much as I want to do it more and as much as I want to get into it, and luckily my friends in the community who are really great people and really funny people who allow me that opportunity, if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be able to because of the other jerks that are in it. So, I mean, I don't know. I have my family in both wrestling, and I have my family in comedy or friends in comedy. But outside of that, man, there's a lot of people I don't like. So, and it's growing, and it was never like that before. So now that upsets me that it's ruining something I love.
Fair enough. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for us here on Overtime this week on The Q. Thank you to producer Bobby as well as Dan Walsh for joining us every single week. You can check us out at theqnow.com. That's going to do it for us here on the show. Make sure you check out The Q now, and don't forget we are giving away Justin Moore, Randy Houser, and Josh Thompson tickets at the contest page.
They're on country singers.
They are country singers at theqnow.com. Click contest March 27th, 7 p.m. at the Chaffetz Arena. We will see you guys next time on the show.
Don't shit on anybody.